The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Okay.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now, please.
Not yet.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right. Boy, that wasn't nice, Kevin. We're back here on PFW in Progress. And don't worry, folks. We're going to take care of you here. I know a lot of people have been Twittering about the fact that they need some therapy, me included. But together, we'll help each other. The mic sounded a little funny, Kevin. I don't know if I can't hear myself.
I can hear you.
You can hear me?
Can you hear
me? Oh, now I can.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, I'm
is
good.
Is this thing
now
on?
I'm good now. Kevin punched a button, and now I'm good. All right, so we'll be here until 2 o'clock, and I really feel like this is where we shine in the off season, when all the other noise has gone away and all the other talking heads have gone away. This is where, you know, we're most needed and where I think we do our best work. Don't you guys agree?
I agree.
You know,
this is not a Johnny Come Lately gig for us, or a flavor of the month.
Right.
Everybody else has moved on to the Harbaughs and everything. We're still here. We're Brady. We're Patriots.
Right.
I think we're equally great at all times of the year.
All right. WebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll be here until 2 o'clock and throughout the offseason, every Tuesday and Thursday from 12 to 2. We will be here talking Patriots, the only place you can still talk Patriots, and we'll continue to do so right up until training camp. PFW in Progress. So we talk about this game. We just got done finishing filming our TV show, and I led off by saying I am shocked. Not that the Patriots lost. We all knew that there was a chance they could lose to the Ravens. The Ravens were not scared of the Patriots, not going to be overcome by the moment. Definitely going to be a close game. I'm shocked at the performance by the offense.
I agree.
I really am. I'm shocked.
Yeah, I'm not shocked at the loss, because I had actually told Paul, as the week went on and I worked on my six-pack on Friday, I kind of talked myself into the Ravens had a really good chance to win the football game, but I had not talked myself into the offense is going to get shut out for 30 minutes,
yeah, I think
and that's
be
how
easy.
The Ravens are going to win, and that was just not on my radar in any way at all, and I give all the credit to the Ravens. I don't think the Patriots lost this game. I don't think they made a ton of mistakes. I think they got outplayed. You know, I know we get annoyed with Bill when he says we get outplayed and outcoached, and you say that every well, for whatever it's worth, I agree with him wholeheartedly. I thought they got outplayed and outcoached.
The Ravens were more motivated, I think.
That's too simplistic.
Ding ding. Okay. Kirsch Scalavino.
I mean, really? You think
by the way, everybody, Eric's 12, here.
12:04.
All right.
You Eric's really, here. It's Tuesday.
But
the off season.
Can I just say something?
Yeah. Uh-oh, here's where Eric fights Paul.
Don't back down. I want to see this.
But do you really think the Ravens were more motivated to win the game than the Patriots?
Yes, they were playing more inspired football than the Patriots were. Even against Houston, I know they put up 41 points against Houston, but that to me didn't seem like a team that was like, you know what? Damn it. we're winning this thing. We're winning the whole thing this year. I didn't get that vibe from them. I didn't get it all week, and I was reluctant. Even though I picked them to win the game, I said that the Ravens were going to be ahead most of the game and that the Patriots would have to come back in the fourth quarter. I didn't feel it. I did not feel it from this team playoffs.
But that's before they even took the field. You didn't feel it.
And a lot of times games are won and lost before you take the
field. I understand that, but that has nothing to do with they weren't inspired while they were playing. That you just felt that this wasn't the team that could do it. But there had to be other reasons besides inspiration, right?
Well, they got outplayed.
Well, yeah, but they didn't have Gronkowski, which I think hurt them offensively. That's one reason why they only scored 13 points and couldn't come back.
So do you buy into the look? I know we always get in trouble when we do the looks and the body language, but we got a lot of emails and people wondering about Brady.
Tommy?
How he looked, and he didn't look like he had it.
No, I don't buy that. And, you know, yes, Ravens played a physical game, no doubt about it, but so did the Patriots. I mean, Mayo didn't knock Pitt out of the game, but he hit him hard. Pitt came back the next play and scored a touchdown. But the Patriots were hitting hard on defense.
I was asking about Brady.
Yeah.
Because I generally believe where this team goes.
I think toward the end of the game, he realized the fake.
I thought he looked like the bad Brady a lot of the game. I thought he was a little jittery, not stepping into it. There was one throw where he tried to throw to Hernandez kind of crossing. He didn't step into it. He kind of was rolling away from the throw as he threw it. I thought he had and it's weird because I didn't think they had a ton of pressure. I didn't think it was like free rushers all day, and he had a great reason.
Oh, there was no free rushers. They had some pressure. I agree with you. There was no free rushers.
I didn't feel
all
like
day.
There was a reason for him to feel like he was in jeopardy or, you know, he had to have that anticipated rush. I thought he really anticipated it, and I thought he didn't have that fire and aggressive towards, you know, they like to say he drove into the throw or whatever Trent Dilfer always said. I didn't think he had that.
You just said, when you talked about how he threw the ball, there's one element in this game that I think, I'll say that I had 100% wrong, that I think a lot of other people did too, and the wind being a factor in this game I thought would really affect the Ravens, because I thought it was a downfield passing attack and Flacco's bombs would be affected by the wind.
I think they were early.
I don't think it was a big factor for him.
I don't think
him.
It was.
I don't
either,
think
Fred.
It prevented
I
him.
I think if there wasn't the wind,
it might have been worse. But
exactly.
But what I'm saying is it didn't prevent him from throwing the ball deep. Yeah. I thought it would.
He tried, but I think it did affect the pass.
You know what?
It didn't stop him from throwing the ball 50 yards down the field. I thought it was going to.
I think it stopped him from completing them.
Well, I think he completed a number of them.
They had 21 of them.
They didn't
240 yards.
They weren't able to do it early, and this, I think, has something to do with it too, because Aqib Talib was on the field. The moment he left the game, all of a sudden they started completing passes further downfield than they had been. Not a coincidence, and that had nothing to do with the wind.
And we'll get into Talib, but the part that I wanted to make about the wind is I didn't think it would affect Brady because it's more of a short timing passing offense, and I don't know if it did affect him, but it looked like it did because he threw. Andy just mentioned like the stepping in and some of the ball. How many short hop throws did he have in that game? How many throws that were just wide? Remember the throw that he.
I thought that was more him than the weather.
Maybe. That's what I said. I don't know. I started off by saying, I don't know if the wind was the factor, but he was as inaccurate in this game as I've seen him in a long time.
There was
one throw in particular on a third down. Remember when Solder got called for holding?
Yes.
It prevented a first down. The next play, he threw a pass trying to get Hernandez, I believe, on a little short out, and the ball went behind. It looked like it hit maybe Ellaby
in the butt. Yeah.
It didn't. I mean, watching the end zone replay of that, it ended up just being short and on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, he underthrew him by 5 yards.
Yeah. And Hernandez kind of stopped it and didn't.
It was like a Randy Moss.
Yeah. I think Brady has those in every game where he's a little off.
Well, he had a lot of them
But
in
I
this
think
game.
In this game, he couldn't afford it.
How about this? The throwback screens, you know, that it took him 4 tries to get it right.
Yeah. I think
all those plays, the timing looked terrible.
Yeah. I think in this game, those times where he was inaccurate was glaring because you just can't afford it because it was going to be that, you know, that close of a margin of winning or losing turned out to be not that close of a margin at the end.
No, that's the part that stunned me. I thought it was going to be a close game.
Well,
it wasn't.
Can I give you another example of what I meant earlier about the inspirational play? When they were down, 28 against the 49ers? Wasn't that how much they were down? They were down by
31-3 in the middle of the third quarter.
They were down 28 to the 49ers. And then as soon as they scored, they got in the end zone, you could sense that they felt, we have a chance at this thing. They got another one, and then they felt it even more. And then when Woodhead tied it up, the place erupted. The whole sideline was into the game. They felt like, now I know Niners had the big kickoff return, and then they end, but whatever. But at that point, as they were coming back, they felt like, we can do this. They were only down two scores against Baltimore in the second half. Seven and change to go, right? Something like that. They got the ball back. And they had the kind of the long pass to Welker. I saw guys on the sideline, defensive players, like this, hands crossed on the bench. Nobody.
What about no, listen to me? Listen was to like me. Going crazy.
Listen to me. Nobody on that sideline thought that they were going to win that game.
I don't buy.
I'm sorry. I saw their faces. I was looking at them through the binoculars. I was watching the whole game. None
I,
of them
I
felt
can't
like
dispute that.
None of
I
them felt
thrilled.
Like yeah, they could win this game.
I can't buy that.
I there was at least one point where they turned to it was Mayo, right? And he just was.
Oh, he looked like he was
going to
cry.
Glassed over like. There wasn't a lot of fire on that sideline.
There was no belief.
And
none.
I don't want to go quite to the point Eric is, but I did see a lack of that. That ultimate, it's like the bully thing where the bully got punched in the face and realized, uh-oh, this bully's a bigger bully than we are.
Well, look, if the Patriots didn't know that this was going to be a dogfight going in, then what?
But there's
really?
Something to, there's a difference between knowing it and feeling it.
Yeah.
And preparing for it and saying, we know we're going to have to play 60 minutes, blah, blah, blah.
I think they knew it was going to be a dogfight.
And then, but it's not the same. Like, I know Mike Tyson's going to punch me in the face, but then when he punches me in the face, it feels different than when I
But that's
knew.
Part of it, and I agree with Andy and Eric on this one. I think they knew it was going to be a dogfight, and when you know that, and then you get hit, you're like, this is what I was afraid of.
Yeah. They didn't have the confidence. That
when
the
you
Ravens
don't think
had.
It's going to be a dogfight, you just go in there with a swagger, and then all of a right. sudden you get hit, and then you say, oh, they came to play. All right. Right. This one, I think they were afraid of
look,
exactly what happened going into the
look,
game.
Look, if the Ravens had their way on offense, I'd be right with you. But it's not about confidence with the Patriots' offense. They didn't score 0 points in the second half because they lacked confidence. They just, I don't know what the reason was, you know, execution, poor play calling, whatever. But that's not the reason they scored 0 points in the second
well,
half.
Well, it's execution, but to me, Brady is affected mentally sometimes. And this, to me, looked like one of those games where he wasn't stepping into his throws, didn't have a lot of confidence in a lot of his throws, and they ended up one-hopping short. I think the execution was yeah. related to the confidence in the quarterback and his whatever fire, mental state, whatever it was.
Yeah, and I just feel like that reflects on the team. And the team, I think, follows
takes
his lead.
Yeah,
yeah, I would
see,
agree
I'm
with that.
I'm with Eric yeah. on this. Yeah. More so, I mean, I agree that it might be, like you said, it's too simplistic at the start. But I do think that a lot of the stuff, the sort of intangible stuff that Eric is bringing up, I think was a factor.
And then make it tangible. For example, he breaks free late in the first half for a scramble, and then he sees Ray Lewis,
and he runs,
and he runs behind the official. And I don't think that was a mistake. I think he was looking. That play could look a lot different if he jukes Ray Lewis like he did Brian Urlacher and gets up with one of those emphatic first downs.
Yes.
And the place erupts and his teammates are like, oh, crap, Brady's, you know, we're into it. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that play has the same feeling when you hide behind the yeah. official.
And a lot of people later in the game on that fourth down felt that he should have tried to run for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would have gotten caught because, you know, about.
Because he's the slowest man.
Well,
on
about
the
two possessions earlier, Haloti Ngata ran down Wes Welker on
right.
a screen. So I'm pretty sure he could have caught Brady. But. Be that as it may, I think there was a reason he didn't run. And I think part of it is what Andy's talking about.
So are you saying that if they had more confidence, they would have won the game?
No.
No.
They would have put up a better fight.
I think they didn't come in with a – I think they were afraid that the kind of game that unfolded was going to unfold. And they I don't think they're equipped for
they're
that.
They're not built for that. That dogfight, that punch in the mouth, back and forth, physical battle. That's not how they want to play, especially with Gronk out. I think you become even more of a finesse. With Lloyd, Welker, and Hernandez, you're a finesse passing offense. I'm sorry. I don't
especially
know.
And they weren't running the ball
and I don't
very
even
well.
Mean to take Welker, call him finesse, because he's the opposite. I mean, he's the toughest guy that's ever lived. I continue to say what I say. I can't imagine being his parents and watching this. The pride you feel that's then overwhelmed by the, what's my son going to be like in 10 years? Because he just takes such an effing pounding out there. And, you know, he even plays where it looks like he gets knocked out. Like it's like no one even reacts. They just expect him to get. Remember that play? And
well,
he just got back up and he jogs over.
Well, you know what
he's
happened?
Grabbing
you know
ribs,
what happened three plays later?
Right.
Was the drop.
Right.
You know, that everybody wants to blame the whole game on. A third down drop
right,
in the third
which is
quarter.
Ridiculous. But, you know, again, and here's the other reason why I think just, you know, coming out and saying, well, they didn't want it as much as Baltimore is too simplistic. I think that when, you know, when you have a good defense like the 49ers or the Ravens or the Jets in the past or, you know, name another team that's given them trouble, Baltimore, and you know, whatever. When they have a plan for Tom Brady, and they can execute that plan because they have a good defense.
But can we at this point just say, if you have a playoff defense, this is what you do?
Right,
because
Let me finish.
Go ahead. You're right.
That plan becomes that much more effective when a Gronkowski's out or a Lloyd can't get a yard after catch. You know, that. So, you know, executing that plan becomes that much more effective when the Patriots don't have the counterpunch to the plan.
Well, those two things are different.
And those
Gronkowski being out, that hurt.
Yeah, that hurt.
But you knew he was out.
Lloyd not getting yards after the catch is Brandon Lloyd.
But what I'm saying,
that's not something that they were missing.
The common thread between Baltimore and the Giants and the Jets is they all had good defenses, and they all had good defenses against an offense like the Patriots.
But that's saying the Patriots can't. I thought the Patriots had a very good offense.
No, I'm
shouldn't
saying
they have had a good offense with a good plan?
But I'm saying that plan,
they put up 30 points in Baltimore again.
But I'm saying it becomes that much more tougher and that much more easier for the defense when, you know, the mainstay of the offense is out of the game.
But I thought Gronkowski didn't matter. All people told me was
you
were winning last week.
Forget about what other
points.
People say. What do you think?
I thought it was a huge deal.
I told you that, but you didn't.
I said it's good. At least this time they had time to plan for it. But you believe it matters.
I thought it was
so
huge.
So stick to that.
I think it was a much bigger factor.
Much bigger
factor. But I think that was a factor in them doubting themselves.
And I think
going in, they you can say we're going to win, but you're human nature. You know the Ravens are good. You know they're physical. You know you don't have your best player. I think human nature says there's a little doubt back in here.
And
then when human nature also punches you in the face and you're in a dogfight,
the
doubt
grows.
That
gets to Eric's feeling.
And I want to correct something you said earlier, Fred. None of us said the Ravens wanted it more. The Ravens felt like they could do it.
Well, you said they were more inspired.
Yes, that doesn't mean they wanted it more. It means they felt like they could do
it. Not a want to.
It's not a want to. It's a can.
Then that gets down to just the players, really. I mean, if they can't, it gets down to they're just better than us.
But the coaches. I mean, let's not take the
players and coaches.
As you said, the Ravens came in with, and let's not pretend the Ravens defense is great.
It's not
good.
It's played well.
I think it's good.
It's played well now.
It's played well.
They're good on third down and they're good in the red zone. That matters.
Right now, in
this league, that matters. I don't care. You know, if the Patriots can sort of parse the stats and say, well, we're good on points, even though we give up a lot of yards. Well, the Ravens can say, well, we're damn good in the red zone and we're good on third down.
But
so whatever else you think,
if they
we're good.
Did this all year with the way they've played the last three or four games, then I wouldn't say that they're
all
a bad
year.
Defense.
They were the second best team in the NFL in the red zone. I mean, that's all year.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
no,
you
I'm
have
just talking
on
about
defense. You say we're good at. We're not a great defense,
but they weren't good on third down all year. They've been great on third down lately.
And they ranked seventh in the league based on the full season.
Let me give you another example from just 1 week earlier. I felt like the Patriots felt we can take the Texans. You know, even when Gronk went out, I think they felt like our game plan, our personnel, we know we can take this team. And I think the Texans felt all week, even though they tried to talk themselves
into it.
They can
take this team.
I think the Texans.
You know what? They don't need Gronk. They can still beat us.
I think the Texans were mentally set back by that loss in December. And despite what they tried to say, I mean, they said all the right things all week. But when they stepped on the field, they knew right from the beginning that they weren't going to win this game. And you could sense that from them. And it was the same type of thing this week,
reversed. I'm not discounting, you know, everything you say, but to say that that's high up on the list, no way. I'll put coaching on the list before that, you know, how they coached in that game. I'll take execution on that. I'll talk about the Brady thing, talk about the lack of Gronk. All those things to me come up above inspiration.
Yeah, but you don't know where the inspiration affects the execution.
You're making it too
Brady
simplistic. You're making it too simplistic. You're taking Eric's point and you're boiling it down to him saying that the Ravens won because they wanted it more or because they were more inspired. That's not the sole reason. That's not what Eric is saying.
No.
What Eric is saying is they didn't have the same level of confidence without Gronkowski against this team that they had the week before. And it showed in the way they played. That shows in execution.
Yes.
Because we don't know. Third and two?
Right.
Gronkowski, I know they can't stop him. Where are we going to go without Gronkowski? Doubt seeps in. That's what I think Eric is talking
about. And when
doubt
seeps in, then you don't think you can make the key catch on third
down. This is
down.
A defense that's been able to
quote doubt or something makes cowards of us all or something like that.
Mm.
That's how I think Brady was. I think there was some doubt there, and that takes away that edge.
And by the way, with Gronkowski, this is a team that held him to 23 points last year.
Well, that's the other issue. I mean, this is a little bit of, you know, they fought this a number of times, and they either squeaked out a win or lost. And that affects their belief going into the game.
Well, that's all. That's why I think Eric's point is, I think you, to say he's saying that they lost because they didn't think they could win, that's boiling down Eric's thought process. It's way too simplistically. I think it's all part of the equation. And listen, I think the Gronkowski injury was enormous.
So was Chandler Jones not playing.
And you could argue your two biggest,
you know, one-on-one matchup winners on both sides of the ball weren't on the field.
And quite frankly, Baltimore doesn't want to hear about your injuries because they had a first-round bye if not for injuries.
And we shouldn't either.
That game would have been played in Baltimore if not for all the injuries.
You just have to step up. And look, without Gronkowski, I still thought they'd win. I still thought they'd score, you know, points.
Yeah, I am.
And I still think they should have.
The points is the most remarkable aspect of the game. The lack of
scoring. Well, based on the way the game unfolded, I'm not sure that they, I mean, I thought they should have, they should have had more points. I thought they blew an opportunity at the end of the half. But the way the game unfolded, I can't sit there and say, oh, geez, that was a 30-point game. No, it wasn't. It was maybe a 20-point game if the offense had played a little bit better. The Ravens just played well.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were capable of holding them to 13 points. And that was more to me getting held to 13 points than you just stunk.
Right.
And that's why you scored
and
13
nobody
points.
Did. Nobody did. Nobody thought that the Patriots would only come out of that game with 13 points.
And can I say something else without making this mean like it's a referendum on I think of Tom Brady? But we all kind of laughed last week, and I made the comment. You know, I looked it up. He hasn't had back-to-back good playoff games since 2004. That streak is intact. And go back and look at the numbers. When you have an offense that is so reliant on Tom Brady, and then he doesn't play at that level in the playoffs, when it happens to another guy that we make fun of his face, he's a choking dog. This is 14 games now. He's 7-7 and hasn't played two good games in a row. That's a big sample size. Sometimes you lose because your quarterback doesn't play as well as he does in the regular season. And that's happened a lot to the Patriots lately. Three times at home in the last 4 years, and if not for a Sterling Moore strip, would have been four times in the last 4 years at home. Your quarterback didn't play very well in the championship game at home.
Right. And again, I go back to...
Doesn't mean I want another quarterback on my team before anybody starts getting on me for
they're
that.
They're losing these games to the Jets, the Baltimores, the Giants of the world that have those types of defenses that can give him trouble.
But you keep boiling it down to an individual matchup. It's more than not play like that in the playoffs. San Francisco, you can throw in there. Seattle, you can throw in there.
That's kind of the point. When you get to the playoffs, you start meeting
those
teams.
You play good teams.
You start meeting those teams with defenses.
Good teams.
You know, so you
don't have a good defense.
So the question is.
So now we're back to defense wins championships.
Well.
See, that's why I'm saying good teams. It's not defenses. It's good teams. When you have to score. And you know, they don't have the defense to uphold him either. And that I think the comparison to Manning is uncanny. This is exactly what Peyton Manning has gone through his entire playoff career. Mm-hmm. He has to be perfect, and no one can be perfect all the time
against really good teams.
Well, I said the same thing about Welker. If Welker dropping a ball on third down in the third quarter
great
means
point.
The Patriots lose, we're depending too much on Wes Welker, or Tom Brady
it's
is
a great
depending
point,
too
Fred.
Much on Wes Welker.
Yes.
You know, yeah. But, you know, last year, who won the Super Bowl?
I forget.
The Giants.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. The Giants had no running game. They were finished dead last in running. And their defense was completely decimated by injuries. They had shaky pass coverage all year long. They found a way to beat you because they had an offense that could supplement the defense and pressure Brady. The year before, who won the Super Bowl? Green Bay, right? Am I missing this?
Nope.
I mean, one of the worst defenses statistically in football. They win because they can score points, and they were able to do it. So it's not just one factor that allows you to win.
That's true.
This year it's going to be a defense because it's going to be Baltimore and San Francisco. Now, I personally think the winner is going to have to score 28-plus points a couple of Sundays from now. They're not going to win the game 13-10, I don't think. I think someone's going to – Colin Kaepernick probably.
And San Francisco didn't look like world beaters when it came to defense last week.
No. They got decimated in the first half. They gave up 24 points. Now, they pitched a shutout in the second half, mostly because of Matt Ryan. But they played better defensively in the second half, but they had to score 28 points. That's a lot. They had to score 20. You're not going to win, I don't think, in this day and age, 13-10.
Well, that's what I don't think it's a good Super Bowl match anymore. Oh, I do too.
No, it's not. It's average now. You're absolutely right, Andy. Right? That's kind
that
of
number
of my,
has grown.
That's part of my.
You know,
point.
The old, what was it? 17. If you score over 17, you should win.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure that's true.
You can't do that anymore. Yeah.
But and you know, we've been getting a lot of emails since Sunday, and for those Patriots, you know, and I'll put that in quotes, Patriots fans who you know want to blow the whole thing up, screw you, really. I mean, the Patriots are one of the best four teams, Final Four teams. They're going to be in the mix next year.
Absolutely, Fred.
You know, they've got a bright future with you know. Ridley and Vereen and Chandler Jones and Hightower, you know, do they need help in the secondary? No doubt. With or without Tlaib, they need help back there. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say even maybe, you know, drafting another offensive lineman, you know.
Pass rusher.
Yeah,
even if they just brought back the same defense, I think there's, you know, Andy and I always joke about this. We always expect everybody to be so much better in year two. But I think there's a reasonable expectation that this will be a better defense even if they just bring back the same cast. Now, they're not going to.
They won't.
There's a lot of free agents.
Right.
But I think they were getting better and showing signs of being better. Tlaib, as Eric said, was a big factor to leaving the game. They should be better. It, you know, they play defense a little differently than they have in the past, and I think they're starting to learn that a little bit. You're right, Fred. There's no reason to think they won't be in the mix again next year.
And somebody emailed, all the Patriots, or what the Patriots need is an elite pass rusher and an elite corner. Well, so does every team.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, tell me.
I love those guys.
Tell me a team that has both of those things, if not one.
No, but you know, what?
And who is on the Ravens that? What elite corner and elite pass rusher do they have? No, they play as a good defense.
You could argue they lost their elite corner in Ladarius Webb, and
they lost their elite pass
their
rusher.
Elite pass rusher was everybody's favorite mouth.
Now weighs about 50 Suggs, pounds more than he used to because he's had endless injuries.
Who couldn't do it?
Can I give a screw you to Patriots fans too while we're doing it?
Yeah. This is the quote unquote Patriots.
Yeah, that's the ones
I
want.
The frauds, the
and I don't know what it was from, but I saw that Torrey Smith tweeted out that. You know, since he lost his brother, he's played a lot of teams, but he's never dealt with the kinds of tweets and stuff he's gotten from Patriots
after
fans
the game.
This week.
Yeah.
I screw you to Patriots fans like that. I'd like to think we're a little better than that, that, you know, you have to resort to these cheap, you know, just totally off base, just terrible. I can't even imagine people would lose a game and tweet a guy about
his brother
and stuff like that.
Like, what were they saying?
I don't know. I just saw his response saying he hasn't seen anything as bad as this week from Patriots fans, and that's just poor to me. I got
some stuff from Ravens fans too. I think it's but you know, we do have
well,
that reputation.
I'm sure every team has classless fans.
Right.
But I'm just saying and I'd hope it's not our listeners. I think our listeners are a little
how classless
better
do you have to
that.
Be to go after a guy a deceased family member.
Right.
But
that's
I would like to think
bad.
That the Ravens fans, like for instance, didn't like send Mr. Kraft emails after Myra died.
Right.
I mean, there's a difference between being like a classless winner. Like the Ravens, let's face it, the Ravens were big mouths on Sunday. They, you know, stuck their chests out and said a whole bunch of arrogant things, calling the Patriots arrogant and all that stuff. That's what the winners do. But that to me,
never mean.
That to me is just that's winners. You know, that's what we did to San Diego way back when in 06. You know, that's what winners do. We made fun of the Eagles with the flapping of the wings. But to me, the guy's brother died. That's off limits. That's not part of sports.
Right.
You know, and I'd like to think that Mr. Kraft didn't get any. Right. You know, classless emails like that from out of town fans. I'm sure he did.
It is crazy.
I'm sure he did.
It is amazing after a loss like that how fans just lash out and just get so angry and frustrated that they'll say things that hopefully they regret later on but don't think about at the moment. And, you know, it's not good. You know, we're not the ones that lost the game. We're not the ones that lost the money and the fame and the glory and all that stuff. Yeah, we lose the pride. We lose the ability to say, you know,
it's entertainment.
Yeah, we're one of the last two teams standing. The spotlight's on us. Look at us. We lose that ability to boast and brag. But at the end of the day, there's really no reason to be so angry.
Right.
I mean, people are, you know, I understand sadness and frustration and, you know, longing and all that, but to be angry like that, I don't understand.
I don't
understand that.
There's something missing in those people's lives. I'm being totally serious.
You're right.
There's something missing. I don't know what it is. It's an individual basis. But if you're that upset about a professional sports team losing, you have something missing in your life.
Right. I agree with that, Eric, 100%.
This was – we always like to say what Fred's reactions are during the prep. This was, I thought, your best performance in a loss of all time.
Why? What did
maybe
I do? I don't realize what I do sometimes.
Maybe because you had – because it was sort of – it wasn't such a sudden loss.
Yeah.
Like, it sort of built from the midway point of the third quarter. Once we fell behind, it was apparent we were in trouble. And then we got in a lot more trouble. But you were, like, very understated.
Except when Brandon Lloyd was falling down.
Oh, well, every time.
He was going down before he even caught the ball.
Brandon Lloyd made 70.
He started falling down.
I think he actually tripped on that one play.
He made 70-something catches again? This year, and after every one of them, Fred went, he falls down again?
I mean, toward the end, he had that one play where he actually caught the ball, made a move, and got 5 yards. That was it.
And then he ran out of bounds. Like, what is he doing?
But the one, I'm not a big Brandon Lloyd defender, but the one where you blew up, I think he actually stumbled and somebody hit his feet. He was tripping, and he actually made a nice play because of it.
I know, but can we just hit him in stride once and see him run?
Well, he did it against Houston. Remember, he got the touchdown.
I know.
Road run.
Yeah, I just, oh.
That's what we get a lot of in the press box. That noise right there.
Look, I understand.
It's that exasperating
I understand
sigh.
He's, you know, when Gronk's in there, he's the fourth or fifth option. But when Gronk's not out there, and think you want the guy to at least have a chance to make a play.
Just make a play. That's all.
Just make a play.
His numbers, you know, you catch 7 balls, woohoo. You know, they had to throw you 14 times. I don't even care about that. Make a play. If one of those 7 was a play, I'd say, okay, he's a guy on the outside that made a play.
Andy, if it was 7 for 125 and a touchdown
on
14 targets, I'd have no problem with that. But it's 7 for 70 yards for your outside
threat? And when you think about how much this team does depend on Tom Brady, okay, if that's the case, and Tom Brady depends on these guys to make plays, and catching 50% of the balls I throw to you doesn't cut it, you need to be like 75% at least.
Yep.
You know, for this offense to be effective, we can't waste plays through the air because we're a pass-based offense.
See, now I'll give you
when you don't make
it. I'll give you an example, okay? Torrey Smith had 4 catches for 69 yards. Lloyd had 7 for 70. Who do you think had a better game?
Right.
I would say Torrey Smith had a much better game. Well, Torrey Smith was targeted 9 times, only caught 4 of them. He was less than 50%. But he made plays on the 4 that he caught.
Right.
And I think he affected the defense on 5 that he didn't catch.
Right.
Lloyd doesn't affect the defense. They say, you know what? Let him throw it to Lloyd all day long. We'll take the paper cut. They can't kill us that way.
But those intermediate underneath passes, it has to be over 50%.
Right. And that's the other thing. A couple of those Smith ones are bombs.
Oh, right.
Absolutely.
And I do think they were affected by the wind or not. They're still stretching the defense, taking chances.
These aren't vertical passes. These are not vertical passes.
We gave up on that about 3 months ago.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't care how many catches, and you guys always make fun of me with Welker. I don't care about the number of catches. I care about the number of plays. Welker makes plays.
Well, I do care about the number of catches and the percentage when they're the underneath stuff. If you're going to use the pass, you know, as high percentage, it's got to be high percentage.
I agree. It's kind of the old Julian Edelman when he first came. Remember when he was filling in for Welker and he'd have 8 catches, but he'd have 8 of 16.
Right.
You can't do that when you're catching the ball within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage.
You can't do that.
It needs to be like the running game where it's happening. It's getting yards every play.
Exactly. So that's where that has to be addressed in the offseason. If he's not going to be that guy outside the hashes down the field,
they need a young one of those.
Yeah, they
that's
need,
on my draft radar. So, and I know it is every year, but they need a young receiver who can make some
hay. We thought that Lloyd was going to do that. He hasn't. Now, I'm not saying you get rid of Brandon Lloyd.
We thought Ocho was going to do that. He didn't. Now, we thought Joey Galloway was going to do that. He didn't.
Brandon Lloyd has a place in this team,
but
that's not it. So we still need that place. We still are looking for that guy.
Someone's got to round up the balls in practice after the throwing drills.
He does look good when, like, picking the ball up and striding back to the huddle. Okay. He's got, like, that gazelle look to him.
Right.
No, I'm being serious. He looks good.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Phones are stacking up. Emails are coming in. Let's go quickly to Travis in Tennessee. Hey, Travis. Travis, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what's happening?
That was a tough loss. Tlaib hurt, and I don't know, maybe I'm overstating the seemed like there was a lot of gimmick plays that we were running that just were getting blown up and not working.
Nope, you're not overstating that. We talked about that actually in the press box early. They had these misdirections, fake throwbacks, and the timing was either off or it was getting blown up. It wasn't working. It's like the Ravens weren't having it, and even when they were wide open, Brady was missing Hernandez on one where he overthrew him. There were too many of those, and they weren't executing them.
Yeah, and part that I really felt like it started to go downhill was the last minute of the first quarter. You got two timeouts left. Hernandez catches the ball with 26 left, seconds left. He has a straight shot that can get out of bounds with first down, but decides to cut it back between, try to get in the end zone. There's six defenders between them.
And Travis, that's a great point. That's something I haven't seen brought up a lot, but they wasted a timeout on that play when he on this. It was a 3rd and 10, heavy blitz. It was a 17-yard reception, and you're absolutely right. He did his patented cut back when he had no chance to get into the end zone. I believe he got down to the 10-yard line.
Yeah,
somewhere around there. Yeah.
If he gets out of bounds, you still have two timeouts left, and the clock stops there, and then you can do anything from the 10-yard line.
I was thinking about that.
And it, listen, it doesn't excuse that they botched the clock after the Brady scramble. But they would have at least had more margin for error if they had an extra timeout.
I'm always hesitant.
Smart football. You got to be smart.
I know, but he's also trying to make a play, and I'm always hesitant to sort of.
But there's a time that you can't try to make a play.
Right.
They didn't have any plays all day.
The play to make was get out of bounds. That was the play to make.
I'm always cautious for criticizing guys trying to make plays.
I know, but you have to know the situation. That's what this team tells. That's what we're told separates this team is they're just so good at situational football. You know. What else, Travis?
Oh, I feel pretty good about next year, about if we can get Welker back and maybe get a sign someone in the off season for a shutdown corner. But my daughter and I are going to make some comfort food tomorrow on her off day, so we're going to send you guys in some cookies if that sounds.
Oh, we love that.
Sounds tremendous. We love cookies.
We never turn down cookies here. That'd be great because we need comfort too.
Yeah. I guess I'll have to talk to Kevin about where to send it into. Yeah. But I got one thing for Eric. I had to try to plan my schedule out in advance, and I was just wondering when the schedule.
Thanks for the call. Just get the cookies here, Travis.
All right, I'll put you on hold,
Travis. You just became my favorite caller of all time. Cookies and a shot at Eric back to back.
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, how y'all?
Good.
Well, Andy, Eric, I'm glad you finally agreed with me on one thing. What you said at the end, Lord, he looked like Bambi. He don't look like a receiver. Well, every time you see him, he's flying, you know. But
he does kind of look like Eric, Bambi.
Eric, you're also right, because on that last 8 minutes, because they showed the faces on the sideline.
Yep.
Now, the defense looked like, man, we done.
Yeah.
Including Vince Wilfork and all of them.
Yep.
Mayo, everybody.
And those are two captains you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Then they showed Brandon Spikes once, and I was wondering if he had even played since week 8. I can't remember the last time I saw him.
Yeah, but have y'all noticed this? Okay, Baltimore got three coming offensive and defense coordinators that know us. They got the offensive coordinator, Caldwell.
Yep.
And they got our old defensive coordinator, Dan Pease.
Dean Pease.
And so, you know, hey, they know us. And every time we play somebody like the Giants or the Ravens in the playoffs or in a regular game, they already know. Second half, shut down the intermediate, we're through. Because we ain't got nobody to stretch the defense yet. We ain't got no receiver. They scared. No, they scared him. And we're going to always lose something like that. It's good to put up 30 points a game during the regular season. But like I said, the playoff time, you got to step up. Even though Gronk is out or whatever, they still did that without Gronk. You know, but when they played the Ravens did have more will than what we had. Because they didn't fear us.
Yeah, I think that's a bigger deal than the, you know, I don't know how much Jim Caldwell knowing the Patriots matters. I think Pease matters a little bit internally. He's played this team. He's been here, has some knowledge of the system. But the part you said last, I always question it. You know, I've been consistent with this. It's great for the regular season to be businesslike, to be even keeled, to not get too high or not get too low. Sometimes in the postseason, you need to dial up a high. And I think teams like Ray Lewis, coaches like Rex Ryan, they can do that. And it's why they suck sometimes in the regular season. They're too emotional. It's why they sometimes have to go on the road and be a wild card team, because they are too emotional and ride the roller coaster during the regular season, but I think it benefits them sometimes in the postseason.
Orlando's in Springfield. Hey, Orlando.
Hello, fellas.
What's up?
I don't even know where to begin with this, man.
You sound like Fred watching Brandon Lloyd catch a pass.
Man, listen, Andy, I think it was you. You brought up the fact that Chandler Jones wasn't in the game. I mean, I think that's been, like, really underrated in terms of the fact that, like, we couldn't get a pass rush on Flacco, man. I mean, we barely got to him. And I think his loss was was really underrated.
Yep.
His loss. I mean, and Khalid going out obviously killed us, too, because look what they did after Khalid went out. How many times did they go up top to Brandon, Anquan Boldin?
Yep.
We couldn't cover anybody.
Yeah, because you lost your big corner, you lost your matchup, and now all of a sudden you got Kyle Arrington and Marquise Cole on the field, and that positive domino effect we've talked about all year goes the other way, and it's a negative domino effect, and you have these guys who really should be backup and special teamers thrown into the spotlight.
Yeah, our DBs suck. I don't care. I want Ryan Vitale gone. Kyle Arrington, I mean, granted, I'll give him. He did make a pretty good play when he was covering somebody deep, but he needs to go. I'm not for blowing up the team. Don't get me wrong, but for God's sake, I mean, here we go again with this garbage, man. It's like we put up 30 something points per game on offense every year. Our offense is clicking. It's great. Blah blah blah. Don't worry about it. We'll cover up the mistakes for the defense because our offense is so powerful. And then what happens when we get into the postseason? We score 13 points, and we rely on a secondary to basically pull us through, which most of the time they can't. You know, I'm tired of this garbage, man. When is stuff going to change around here?
I don't have an answer. I mean, it is back to where you're questioning the pass rush and the pass coverage, as you've been questioning the pass rush and the pass coverage for 3 to 5 years now, and they've invested draft picks, they've trades or whatever. And do you really feel like it's going to be all that different? I mean, I know Paul, brought up on our TV show that Alphonso Dennard, you feel like he was okay. I'm not sure I'm ready to say he's a number one corner or he's like going to be one of the answers in the back end. And Paul's waving off that idea. He apparently doesn't feel that either.
Paul's not ready to say that either.
So, I because there was a time when we thought we had some good things with, Butler. You'd had young guys and you had reason for hope. Well, we have young guys. Maybe we have reason for hope, but they need to get past reason for hope every year and actually just finding a way to get better.
That's right. That's right. Well, listen, I'm going to get back on my meds and open a beer or something. Take care, fellas.
All right, Orlando.
Thanks, man. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That is one thing. And I've been really stubborn about the offense. Like, the offense doesn't score as many points as it normally does, and then all of a sudden you get knocked out of the playoffs, but it's still kind of on the defense because the defense hasn't played particularly well in those games either. But at some point, it was 17-14 in 07 in the Super Bowl. It was 33-14 to the Ravens in the wild card game. It was 28-21 with the last seven coming with less than 30 seconds left. It was really another 14-point game against the Jets. Last year in the Super Bowl, it was 17 points. When are they going to score commensurate to what they score on a normal basis?
Right.
And get knocked out. And when that happens, I'll say, okay, Peyton Manning lost 41-35, or whatever it was, 38-35. Yeah. Lose 38-35, and I'll sit there and say, we got to rip apart this. We got to do something about this.
Right.
So you want to rip apart the offense?
I just wonder if
I add to it.
No,
I was being sarcastic.
No, I know you were. I know you were. But Andy and I had a point-counterpoint about Welker and Tlaib and, which guy would be more important to re-sign if you could only take one, if you only had a choice of one. And I think that Welker seems to be the right answer. But when you look at it, their offense is pretty good. So let's say without Welker, it just, instead of great, it just becomes okay. At what point do you say we have gone as far as we can go with this Madden-like offense in the regular season? It's going to get, chopped down a little bit in the postseason when we play the teams that Fred keeps talking about. We need to find a way to win that game, 21-17 instead of lose it 21-17, like they did against the Ravens last year. They won 23-20. Those games are so few and far between since 07. Low-scoring, tight – and I don't know the answer. I'm not saying that means you have to get rid of Welker. Welker's not the problem.
No, but the problem with that theory, and I agree, that needs to be looked at. You have a soft, pass-heavy, regular-season offense.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that theory is that they built that while ignoring the defense. They've invested a lot in this defense.
Right.
They've just got nothing to show for it. They've used plenty of draft picks in this defense. They've spent money on this defense. They decided Steve Gregory was a starting safety. And he played okay. But to me, on defense, they have a lot of guys that play okay. They have nobody that plays great. You lack your Gronkowski and your Brady. Everything works better on offense when you have Gronkowski, Brady, and I'll throw Welker in there. I don't know that you have enough of that on defense.
Yeah.
You have guys. I think Steve Gregory would be fine on, next to Rodney Harrison when Rodney Harrison was here and good. Or next to a really good safety. And Alphonso Dennard might be fine opposite a good corner, a Ty Law. And, Rob Ninkovich might be fine opposite Willie McGinnis. Or, but we're lacking the opposite parts. And I don't know that just allowing people to go on offense means you're going to suddenly hit on that.
No, you have
to
hit.
Rozai Dowling draft pick. Rozai Dowling should be a focal point of this defense at this point, correct? As the 33rd pick in the draft.
Right.
That's a high pick. He's not. He's not even sniffing anything of any. And all these guys, Chung, Ron Brace, you're just letting go of all these second round picks that it's not like they haven't tried. They just haven't hit.
Right.
They
have to hit. I mean, Will Fork and Mayo up the middle are good, but they don't have those edge guys that,
right.
Seem to, be the difference makers. And, they're going to have to address that. Chris with the TIN has been holding on for over a half an hour. Hey, Christian.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, we're trying to get ready for 2013, I guess.
Working on a pepperoni calzone.
Yeah. Eat up, Paul.
Thanks.
Did the same thing at the end of the game the other night. What about a half a quart of ice cream? Just, here we are again. SOS.
Andy,
man,
put away a whole key lime pie.
I did.
Physical team. Punches you in the mouth on offense. Team lives and dies by offense. That's how we're built. You don't score enough, you don't win. Defensive side of the ball.
You're not that good. You live by the turnover. You don't force any turnovers.
You don't force any turnovers. You got a couple sacks, but there's no fumbles. There's no picks. And here we are again.
I mean, that's a good point that we really haven't touched on. I mean, we knew it was there, but no turnovers.
And that's another reason when I went to Paul's office, I said, I didn't really realize until I started chewing down the numbers, just like the Patriots don't turn the ball over, neither do the Ravens. They tied with the Patriots for second fewest turnovers all year, and I said, that's not good. So they're good in the red zone, so we might not score as much, and they're not going to turn the ball over to give us extra chances, and they might that's not good. And
right.
Yep.
That played out. You don't force those, you live and die by it, and they die by it.
Yep.
And I know this is a pro game, but fundamentally anybody who's ever played the game knows that it's all about imposing your will on someone else. You gotta have players. You gotta have skill guys. You have to have guys to make plays. No doubt about it. But it starts with the guy in front of you, lining up against him, and outmanning him.
Yep.
That's what it is. And to a certain extent, this team doesn't have that extra gear. Now they have some guys: Mankins, Spikes, Will Fork, that'll thud you. Okay. They'll punch you. But they don't have that guy. They don't have that hammer. And they need a couple of bad mofos on that defensive side of the
I thought
ball.
Spikes was the Sandman. I thought he was knocking out players.
You want to know what it is with him? He's not that good. No,
that was very Andy Hart-like right there.
No,
he's not that good.
He's not that good. He's on first down. What do? They pass. Okay? He comes off the field. Why? Because he can't cover anybody. Simple.
This is the best call ever.
He can run blitz. And you want to know the thing about his run blitzes? 50% of the time, he'll make a play. The other 50%, he shoots the wrong gap, and the run goes the other side.
Yep.
And
don't forget the plus or minus 1 and 2% when he just goes offside, like he did on Sunday.
That too. So and Baltimore played great. All that aside, now they have that thing going that you see teams when they get that late season charge, and they got it.
Yep.
And if it's the Ray Lewis thing, if it's the switching the coordinator thing, both of those things, whatever it is, they just got it going. And the thing that really bothered me the most, Eric, you started off, I agree with you 100%.
The body language.
It was awful.
Yeah.
And whether it was panning to Will Fork sitting there on the bench looking like, man, what's going on, to Brady just sitting there, mm-hmm. and the coaching. What's he doing punting?
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about that after the break, Christian.
There's just so much
that bothered all of us. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, a week ago you said, well, you can't win a war from the foxhole.
Yeah.
and what'd you do? You went in a bunker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well said.
Well said, Christian.
Christian, we're going to put that call in the Hall of Fame.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Christian.
That was a great call.
All right.
Christian's much better after a loss.
Lot of emails coming in. We still have phone calls coming in. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England.
We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me about.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of fact,
I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's go back to the phones. Let's make it quick because we get a lot of emailers. I want to give them their equal time. Let's go to Keith in Florida. Quickly, Keith, what do you got?
Hi, my name's Keith, and I'm a patriotaholic.
What does that mean?
You don't like an alcoholic, but no. Anyways, I just wanted to chime in on a couple things. Great show, too, by the way. Thanks for the group therapy. But anyways, you had addressed earlier that you're wondering why some fans go off the deep end. One of the reasons I get real frustrated is because of money. You know, being a fan costs a lot of money. You guys work for them. You may not realize it, but you know, the NFL ticket. I mean, going to a couple games a year. That adds up. Apparel.
I know, but aren't you entertained throughout? I get that we lost the last game, but, you know, it's good entertainment. You know, and only one team can win.
But also, the other, and you're right, Fred, yeah, I am entertained, very entertained. That's why we follow our teams, and that's why we love them. But, really on this one where it hurts the most, to me it's not one loss. It's a pattern. You know, going back to 2006, I think, searching for that number four, you know, basically – 2006, I think if we had Dion Branch, we would have had it. You know, 2007, it's just a pattern. Every time we get a physical team, and we can't pull it off, it seems like, you know, it reminds me of the old Red Sox days.
Yeah, it's absolutely frustrating, but it's not as nearly frustrating as being a Raider fan or a Browns fan Jacksonville fan.
Fred, we were there, though.
It took us an hour, but Fred's back.
Well, what are you going to do?
I mean, go back to the South.
Okay, we lost Keith.
Did we lose
that
him?
That was
then?
Weird.
Oh, it wasn't just me, because my headphones have been going in.
I think he just, like...
Just fell out of a plane. It was...
I think he was in one of those, like, cylinders that were filling up with water, and it got to the point where it just got over his head, and now he's underwater. So.
Well, or maybe you drowned him in that.
Yeah, better to be a Raiders fan?
No, but I mean...
you
look,
drowned him in
again,
that.
Again, I get
you
the...
You drowned him in rhetoric.
Crap. I get the frustration. I get the sadness. I get the humiliation. I get all... But it's the anger we were talking about.
But you know what I think makes people feel that way? Is they know there's a good chance they're going to be Raiders fans again when Brady and Belichick leave. And that's why this is that much more painful, because they have the opportunity now and they want more, the most out of this span that they can get before they go back into, and let's be honest, you can call it Raider land or you can just call it pre-2000s Patriot land when you sucked and you were worrying about draft picks.
Pre-94.
I think it's equally foolish to say that when Brady and Belichick go, whenever that is, and we don't know if it's going to be together, you know, Belichick could be here well after break, that everything's going to go to hell. You don't know
I
that.
I think there's a good chance that you're going to be looking up in the standings.
Well,
for
there's going to be some type of transition period, but there's no reason to say that the Patriots will never win again after those guys
didn't
leave.
Say never Not win never. Again, but like they won.
Fred,
they
you're
went
very
in 85,
literal today.
85, 86, they were good.
But
Then they went through
why
crap.
Why bother worrying about that now?
Because people see the window closing.
But enjoy what you've got.
They can't.
Yeah, but you do. I think people do enjoy it, Fred. But they also recognize the urgency of the window closing a little bit. It's not closing, like, immediately. But at some point, people know every year that goes off is one less year that you still have
for these
Brady.
Guys. For these guys.
No, for
and
Brady.
When you're so
for
close.
Brady. Yeah.
They also that's know how mean. Hard it is
for
to get there.
Right.
Not for yeah. these guys. For Brady. That's the only irreplaceable
because even
one.
When you're good, it's hard to get there. Mm-hmm. So when you're in the Super Bowl or you're in the AFC title game, they want you to maximize that. Let's yeah. win it.
And
we
how
did
many
the
times,
hard part. We got there.
I don't know if you watched much of the analysis yesterday on the national stuff, but a lot of them were saying, listen, they're going to be right back in it next year and as long as you have Bill and Tom.
Right.
And that's the way a lot of Patriots fans feel, and they know at some point we're not always going to have Bill and Tom.
Right.
Then what?
Yeah.
It's probably going to get worse. It doesn't mean they're never going to win again. They were able to go to the Super Bowl a couple of times without Bill and Tom, but they didn't win them.
Yeah. I'll bet you that the people in Indianapolis are really hopeful for the future. You know, with Andrew Luck, and I know that they got a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback, but, you know, I'm sure there was a point where a lot of fans are saying, oh, geez, if Peyton doesn't win again, you know,
no, but what
the
I'm
window's
saying,
closing on him. But hey, the sun came up the next morning.
But it can be
look.
Very quick, Fred.
You got lucky.
If you go about 3 years, 4 years, and you really haven't put much around Andrew Luck, people will start feeling like the clock is ticking.
Right.
I have this great quarterback. I want to put something
sure.
around him
sure.
to win.
Sure. But I just... What the Patriots have done and are doing is absolutely amazing.
Yes.
It is absolutely amazing.
When you
amazing.
Step back, that is
yeah,
true. But when you're up close, it is not, and you look for these trends.
Right.
And for example, before last year, it was the talk of just getting blown out at home, blown off the field. You can't take advantage of your home field advantage. And people forgot about that because you went on a Super Bowl run last year. Well, now it's just about losing the final game to these certain types of teams in certain situations when your offense does certain things. It's piecing it all together and trying to explain why you're upset.
Look, you always want answers. You always want to improve. And in order to improve, you have to analyze. You have to figure out
yes.
what where are we lacking? What why are we, you know, and
Bill's doing that.
They are doing that, and they will probably try to make moves. They may work and they may not work. You know, but we know they'll be in the mix.
More likely than not on offense, they'll work, and on defense they won't.
Well, during the regular season.
But you could be a Raiders fan.
But well, I do think that the fans appreciate that. The fans know they're going to be in the mix every year.
I think
most Patriots fans know that and understand that, and they want to win it all, but they know they're going to be in the mix, and they appreciate that.
All right, quickly, Tyrone's in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, quickly,
here's one
right?
that might not appreciate that.
No, I do appreciate it.
I'm just kidding,
Tyrone. Screw you, Paul Perillo.
I'm just kidding, Tyrone.
Whoa. Well, I'm going to get on Andy Case in a minute. Remember, Fred, first of the year I called, and first of the year you said you was having disbelief about the offense, or you were saying, well, you know, the offense, it just needs a little kick in its step, because one thing this offense lacks is speed. And you and Andy and Paul was talking off the ledge, and I called and I said, look, Fred, I don't agree with you all the time. No, as a matter of fact, I said, Fred, I don't agree with you none of the time, but I agree with you this time. Good. And, yo, this is a pattern. From 09, we haven't – look, I told you guys that football now is basketball and grass. You're
Michael
bigger,
Barton told me that,
you're taller, you're faster. You need to get some wide receivers in the mix. Look, no, look at this here. You guys need to understand why they'd be so passionate about this thing. I work in the port at Wilmington, and we bet on these games. Because we make decent paychecks down here. We bet on these games. I bet $500.
We cannot condone that.
Hey, I understand. I bet $500 on the Houston Texans Patriots game. I bet that I win my money. The Baltimore, everybody will say, oh, tell me what you want to bet. I said, no, not me, because I know that they ain't going to work against this Baltimore Ravens defense. This shot, Barling, or what? Look at it. If you follow Baltimore Ravens, look at the teams that beat this team. Teams that got sure downfield, and them always win. Last year, they played the Saints, and they played the Chargers. Jason Jackson and Adwood Royal had a field day on them. The Saints, the other way, we see they had a field day on them. That's how you beat the Baltimore Ravens. And another thing, look now, look my boy Mark. we messed up on Mars with this Mars thing. You guys say, oh, he was selfish, whatever. Randy, I could count on one hand how much time this man dropped a ball. He never used to go across the middle. I understand that. But the look now, the man will get a ring. I just put on now with the 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens. The 49ers will smash them. Because why? Because I think middle of the season, you guys were saying, I think Eldridge from North Carolina used to call in and he used to say, yo, why can't we get a good wide receiver? You got Branch, you got Lloyd, it's garbage. So you got to build on what you got. Don't go backward. They're too slow, and I knew this was going to be a problem. And look at the 49ers. You got to worry about Moss, Crabtree, Gore. Too much for the Ravens. And you could chew on them. And matter of fact, one more thing. Paul, last week you guys said the Ravens' defense sucked. I agree with you.
I said
what
that.
What I say about all offense. We scored 13.
Yeah, no, you're right. Indiana, I said that last week. You are absolutely right.
Indianapolis scored more than what we scored. And it was at home. The only reason Peyton Manning, they shred that defense, because we know Peyton Manning. He don't play good and cold. If it was a warm weather day, it would have been game over. We got to change this offense. Well, I don't feel so sorry for Tom Brady. This man, to me, reminds me of Michael Jordan. But you don't see Jerry Reinsdorf playing along with Whitey Star, playing along with Whitey. Had Jordan, he Bill. He get Dennis Rodman, he Bill. And they got most of that. Yo, Tom Brady had a chance to be the greatest quarterback of all time. But Belichick gets it in this man way.
Okay, Tyrone.
Craziness.
All right, Tyrone, I love your passion. That was a great call.
That was a phenomenal call.
That was a great call.
And his accent only adds to it.
I did say that last week. He's right.
I'm guessing he's not from Maryland originally.
No.
It was a great call.
One point that he made that I think is worth sort of revisiting. A lot of people talked about how slow the Ravens were in defense last week. And I agree with him. They were an older defense. But I didn't understand why that was such a huge plus for the Patriots. I don't think of the Patriots as being a dynamically fast team.
Right.
So the one thing that Tyrone kept saying, they need to get faster. I sort of agree with that. And you made a comment, Fred, during our TV show about how sometimes when we lose games, we kind of look back and we say, do we try to get too cute sometimes? Do we overanalyze? I think that's a chicken or the egg thing. And Andy talked about it on the show. I think that you scheme like that because you kind of have to. You have to try to trick them to get guys open because you don't have guys other than Gronkowski, and I would put Hernandez in that group too, that win a ton of one-on-one battles.
But they don't do it with speed, that's for sure.
Well, Gronkowski does because Gronkowski's speed for his position is high-end, for his position. And I would say Hernandez as well.
Hernandez is pretty fast, too. Yeah,
I would put those two guys. But Lloyd and Welker, to me, are not guys that are going to just blow by
you. I wonder what Lloyd runs the 40 in.
It's going to be your old. There's a difference between
he falls down
speed
at 20.
And football speed. I'll bet you he runs a solid 40.
No, well, that's what I'm wondering.
But he doesn't run it on the field.
He runs a 6.4 because
he has to get back up after falling down. Good
oh
friend.
My God.
But I mean, a lot of people were sort of, you know, that's a big, big plus for the Patriots in this game because their speed. Well, what speed? Like, who has, like, Ridley and Woodhead? I mean, they're quick guys. Even Vereen showed good speed on that 83-yard touchdown when there was no one out there, but I don't look at him as a blazing, fast, you know, well, Darren Sproles type.
Back to the football speed.
You know what I mean?
It's like Devin McCourty. How come I see him fly to catch a guy on a kick return?
That's a good point.
But I never see him fly when he's the guy with the ball on a kick return. Like, his speed is different. Mm. Or he had that pick earlier this year where he comes across and he turns it upfield. Where's that guy on the kick returns? Because I'd like to see that guy, Devin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quickly, Alvin is in Texas. Hey, Alvin.
Good call,
hey,
Alvin.
Grandma's day. How's everybody doing?
We're bien.
We're
doing okay.
Drugs take the pain away for you?
What?
Do the drugs take the pain away for you?
Only drinking and some strippers.
And what's that preamble to Jay nonsense?
Forget about it.
That's an inside joke on the PFW Facebook page.
No, I
are we not privy to what it means?
Preamble to Jay.
The Constitution.
Yes.
Any chance, like, are we going to get like a free agent that actually is good, like a cornerback or something?
We hope so.
No.
We'll see. Patriots are in good shape cap wise, and I'm sure they're going to be making a lot of moves.
By the way,
they'll
Bill Belichick,
$7 million.
Bill Belichick had the single greatest answer that I've ever heard in a press conference yesterday with regard to the salary cap. I am now fully on board with Bill Belichick, who adheres to my theory. Yeah, he said the cap is crap.
He said there's ways to always maneuver with the cap, which is
absolutely
true.
Is what Paul
but
says
the point is, you have to figure it out.
By the way, you need to slide me a little note that says New York Jets, because I've been waiting for you to tell me a team that's in cap hell, and I think the Jets are actually in cap hell.
Yeah, and,
it took
and why?
The idiocy of the Jets to
and
find
why are they
in cap
hell? Because their quarterback can't play.
Because they're stupid.
Exactly, because they gave
but
a guy who can't
their quarterback
play money.
Can't play because the quarterback couldn't play, and they gave him more money. So that's just pure stupidity.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do. You
exactly.
could have gotten
so
out from under the quarterback.
I couldn't
you chose
agree
to stay
more.
Under the quarterback.
I'm completely with you. If the guy could play, they'd be fine. But they decided to give money to a guy who can't play.
See, I disagree. I think if they weren't morons, they'd be fine.
I completely agree.
They're in that position because they're morons. They took a bad quarterback and gave him more money.
Yep.
Moron. Stupid. Bad money after good.
Eddie's in Maryland. Hey, Eddie,
after bad.
Eddie, you a Patriots fan
I'm
or
with
a Ravens
you.
Fan?
Butchered cliche in all.
What's that?
No, I'm a Patriots fan. Second time caller.
Okay, thanks, Ed.
Welcome aboard again.
I called you guys right before the draft last year you know, about the Ravens, but I'm not going to talk about that. You know, the point is I'm not as upset as most Patriots fans because for some strange reason, what I feared would happen in the game kind of happened in the game. You know, Tlaib goes out. The one, you know, stud player that we have, one of the few, and the Ravens, I mean, they look at our team and, you know, they're just like, wow, let's cover Woodhead. As soon as Woodhead was the starting running back, you know, upon the passing down, I just knew somehow something wasn't going to be right. Because it just seems like the Patriots need a philosophical change. And until they make that, we're going to get used to this. We got to get used to it. You know, it's, man. I actually have a question for Fred.
Yes.
You know, let me ask you this. If you could take the next 5 years of the Patriots going to playoffs, losing the first round, second round, whatever, or a chance to maybe you have a good enough team to win the Super Bowl, which one would you take?
They have a good enough team to win the Super Bowl. That's a false argument. I think that last year they were one catch away from winning the Super Bowl.
But that's... Not you. It's so not. They got so many breaks last year. You can't even bring. I mean,
oh, now come on!
Hundred...
Every team that gets that far gets breaks.
But
that was a bad way to couch it. What you should have said is, if I could trade one sure season to win the Super Bowl, would I trade that for five seasons of getting close? Probably within a 5 year span, I'd choose the one sure season.
Without starting a fight, do you think last year's team was the best team in football?
Last year's team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said I wouldn't start a fight, so I'm not going to answer.
Yeah, I do.
Because I agree with Eddie. I think you got to the Super Bowl and you were one play away from winning the Super Bowl. That didn't mean that you were the best team in football. But
were the Giants?
Nor were the Giants.
No, I don't think.
Nor were the Giants.
Well, that's kind of the point. I mean,
but he's talking about building a Super Bowl caliber team, not one that wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I understand. But
another
even when you do that,
I got to start that Twitter line.
What team is
Andyisms.
What team in the NFL is the team guaranteed to win it every
There's
year?
No one guaranteed to win
isn't.
It, but you build
that's
a
the point.
But Eddie's talking about building a team that's better than everybody else.
Right, and every team is trying to do the exact same thing, and only a few do it. Patriots are one of them.
Wow. Welker, number one receiver? I don't think so. Sorry. You know?
So you think they need to get a better receiver. I'll buy that.
No, because I'm not Tyrone. I'm not going to jump on the receiver thing.
No, but
the team in general, they have so many effort guys, and they need talent guys. Until they get talented guys, we're not going to win. We're going to get used to this. Let's beat up the AFC East, make it to the playoffs, and then what's going to happen when you you know, you play when the Texans are going to get over the hump eventually. They are, trust me. Just like the Colts did, the Ravens just did, and we're going to stay. Oh, Tom Brady, we're going to win because we have Tom.
Why are the Texans going to get over the hump? Why are the Texans going to get over the hump? What makes you think that?
Eventually, these teams that have talent, they'll get over that hump.
Patriots had. There's only one team that. Now I know the Pro Bowl doesn't mean anything, but there's only one team that had one more Pro Bowlers than the Patriots.
Oh, Pro Bowl! Come on, are you serious?
Well, what are you judging?
I'm not even sure that's true.
What are you judging talent?
The Pro Bowl is a sham. I mean, come on.
Houston and San Francisco, right?
Yes. They're the third most.
Okay.
Patriots clarifying facts.
Yeah. Don't yell at me. Focus your energy at Eddie.
But, you know, every team can improve itself, including the Patriots. But to say that they lack talent is absurd. It's absurd. You're being,
I think the quarterback covers up for a lot of divisions.
You're being emotional.
I really do.
Andy Paul, there you go. The quarterback covers. He's been covering for the past 5-6 years.
This is why Andy and I think that when Bill and Tom are gone, you better be prepared.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
So I'm just saying, I wish they would take the chance to, you know, West is a good player, but he's not a number one receiver. You can't pay him like that. Move. You know, you got to change the offense. I know we're going to miss his 100 catches, but you can't win with his 100 catches. So, you know, I mean, just get him out. He just, I hate to say it, but he's just not good enough to be what you want him to be. He's a good player, but, I mean, he's just not. So that's one. That's a lot of money right there. Boom.
Should the Patriots have extended and paid all that money to Hernandez and Gronkowski?
Wow, the Hernandez one, I don't know. I mean, Gronk is, you have to take a chance with Gronk. He's just an all-world talent.
Yes.
I mean, he gets hurt, but Hernandez, though, I don't know. You know, I mean, you could have got a really, this two tight end, I want to wait and see what it looks like next year, you know, when, I forgot the Giants tight end who's,
Jake Ballard.
Yep.
Let's see how it works next year.
He's more of a,
but Ballard's more of a Gronk guy.
Run the ball a little more. Stop. It seems like the false face. The, you know, whenever things go bad, the spread, let's go bad. Tom, dissect. I hate to say it, but he's just, he don't ask all that against good defenses. We're asking too much of Tom. I think
that might be right. And I think the Lloyd acquisition was, forget about the numbers, because that's what everyone's going to point to. We'll look at the numbers. It's the production. It's when the numbers happen and what happened after. I think that was a big disappointment. That was that thing that they didn't have the year before that was going to make them that much better on offense. It didn't do it. It made them just as good on offense as they were.
Let me and Eddie, that's interesting stuff you brought up. But let me ask you guys this. Do you think that, and I think Eddie takes it too far when he says you can't win with that. I mean, clearly, they were 18-0, and they were 30 seconds away from going 19-0 with Welker as your slot receiver catching 100 million balls.
Which would have been the greatest team ever as opposed to a team that can't win that
way.
Right.
It's just like, oh.
No, but Fred, hold on. Because I think that much like our initial argument in the show, it was boiled down too simplistically. Obviously, you can win with Wes Welker. But I think what he's trying to say is right now, the way our offense is structured, do you think that they almost need to change the way they go about it and have a slot receiver that's fine, but not necessarily one that's going to catch 120 passes? Find a Lloyd who can be productive and make plays and stretch the defense, not bombs, like deep in cuts like Torrey Smith
caught
the other night.
A playmaker. It's got nothing about where it is. I've been
and
consistent
has that
with this.
Be the focal point
I
of
wouldn't
your
have
offense.
Paid Vince Wilfork. I wouldn't have paid Gerard Mayo. I may not have paid Logan Mankins because there's $150 million right there. I'm not sure you get a lot of playmaking out of. I don't know how much worse you are if you have, you know, a guy who's just good playing Vince Wilfork's spot or a guard who's just good. But you know what? I think if you add a $50 to $70 million pass rusher, a $50 million corner, maybe a $50 million outside receiver, I think you might be a hell of a lot better football team. They've invested in positions, and a lot of their talent is in positions that aren't necessarily impact play.
You know, look at Sunday. You know, Vince Wilfork, who, by the way, didn't have a great game this Sunday, but for my purposes, let's try to ignore that for a second. You can't play much better run defense than the Patriots play in general.
Right.
As a rule. I'm not talking about Sunday specifically, although I thought they played fine Sunday, even though Vince didn't have a great game. Andy's point is, you have the best nose tackle in football, or interior run-stuffing defensive lineman. Well, that was a lot of good it did when the other team was putting 28 on the board, and by the way, sat on the ball the whole fourth quarter. They might have been able to put 42 on the board had they decided to.
And I have the best guard in football, except I don't run the ball.
Do I
need the best guard
in
football?
I hear what you're saying, you know, but I think there's something to be said about being confident in your run defense because, you know, maybe this isn't true anymore, but, you know, most coaches will say it begins and ends with, you know, running the ball, stopping the run.
I still think that's kind of true.
You know,
but here's my point.
Well, just let me finish. So having that knowledge that we're going to be okay there, now you can kind of focus on the other areas. But I think that's what they have to do. They have to now focus on those other areas, and they haven't been able to do it in the last 2-3 years.
But two things. Do you need to have $48 million tied up in your nose tackle to make sure you can stop the run? Number one.
If that's the case, I think it's worth the money. No, I really
do. But what I'm saying is, so instead of being great against the run, you can just be good. Or, like the Baltimore Ravens, bad. But still stop the run when you need to stop it. Because stopping the run's more of a mindset to me. You just decide, I'm going to stop the run today, and I can stop the run. You don't need to have a $48 million nose tackle to do that.
That's how, I feel like Kyle Love can stop the run.
Yes.
Like an a guy like
an
that.
An undrafted rookie free agent who weighs 330 pounds who, can
know,
be a good run stopper.
Who you find the right guy.
Well, this gets down to defensive philosophy, you know, because we all know that the Patriots started as like this 3-4 base, and they've changed off of that. But I think still the philosophy of Belichick is, if I can have that space eater in the middle, you know, that can take up two gaps, that allows me to do more with guys around him. I can be more flexible in my defense. It gives me options.
How can none of the options work?
Well, what are some of those? But whether or not it works, let's forget.
I also don't buy the fact that Kyle Love can't eat up blockers. I've seen Kyle Love fighting through two guys.
Well, but with Wilfork on the field with him?
Yes.
Okay. So,
and at times, no, because they've done the three-man rotation.
But you know the better guys are focusing on Wilfork.
Yes, but the bottom line is, what does Kyle Love make? Like $1 million?
Yeah.
And Wilfork makes $9 million.
An extension.
Is it an $8 million drop-off?
That's my point.
Or could I take that drop-off, make an $8 million upgrade over Rob Ninkovich, and say, I have a game changer on the edge?
I know, but what happens when Wilfork's not on the field and it's Kyle Love you're depending on?
I think you're fine.
Well, that's a big...
If I can find two or three Kyle Loves, I'm fine.
I personally think you go from 8th against the run to 11th.
I don't know.
That's what I think the difference is.
I think they
and maybe I go from 29th against the pass to 17th.
And you've got a guy in Brandon Dedrick who was a 7th round pick.
Right. I think
if Kyle Love and Brandon Dedrick, who play by themselves sometimes now anyway.
Right.
I think
just because you blew Ron Brace, you can find guys.
And by the way, this is not an anti-Vince
there in the middle, you know, makes everything else.
Well, you know what? Some of his feelings on defense aren't working out, so maybe he needs to feel differently.
And this is not an anti-Vince
right? I mean, I think he has tried to fix the defense for like 3 or 4 years. So some of his feelings and philosophies on defense just aren't working. Whether it's the personnel or the scheme, it ain't working.
There's a cliche out there, too, that, you know, some of the things and the principles that Belichick holds near and dear to his heart in this day and age are no longer as important as they once were. I think that's one of them. And I think you're starting to see him sort of adjust a little bit with his, you know, his ability, as Andy just said, to start using some more four-man fronts and not the old, as you said, the space-eating nose tackle at 3-4 right on
the center. But it took him a long time to come to that.
But
I don't know. If you know,
he seems
like
to
be a little stubborn.
Like, I'm not sure that you need to be great. I mean, I understand, like, you know, stop running the ball and stopping the run. I'm not sure you need to be great in either one of those anymore to be successful. I'm not sure you have to be a great run-stopping defense to be a good defense.
He's playing checkers. The rest of the league's playing chess.
I think the game is changing a little bit.
Wow.
I think the game is changing. And listen, I'll tell you, and I don't really like the way the game is changing, because I think you're going to start to see a lot more of this over the next 5-10 years. Mm. You know, this pistol stuff with the zone reads, that's where they're going. Geno Smith is going to come in from West Virginia. He's going to add another dynamic athlete who can run and throw. I don't know if he's accurate enough to be like RG3 and Kaepernick and these guys, but Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you're not
I don't
seeing.
Know.
You're not seeing.
What are you smirking at me
for? I farted.
Oh. I thought you were making fun of me throwing the pistol out there.
I think
that's a little not like me.
No, but that's a good point, though, because I think it was only like maybe 2-3 years ago at most. I remember in Belichick press conferences, people would ask him about those types of players who were still in college at the time and were saying, you know, do you think eventually the NFL will be a league full of those types of quarterbacks with the spread offenses? And – oh, that's impressive, Paul. You almost
That's about as high over the cup as it can go without.
That's good head right there.
But the question was sort of like, do you think, you know, 10, 15 years from now, we're going to see a league where there are all these players who are, you know, Kaepernick, Russell Wilson type players, RG3. I think you're seeing it way sooner than people expected, because, quite honestly, you're not seeing pocket type Bledsoe like passers being developed anymore. They're going with athletic, young, smaller guys who can run around and throw.
It's easier.
And that's how the offenses are. High school offenses are like that.
Yep.
College offenses are like that.
It's easier to dominate.
The NFL has to change because they don't have pocket passers anymore.
And you see, there's at least four, right? Because I would throw the three we talked about, and I would throw Cam Newton in there.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Who's big enough to be a pocket passer, but is athletic enough to be one of those guys.
If you end up getting, you know, Geno Smith and, you know, two or three other guys like that, and all of a sudden you have 7 or 8, you know, now that's a significant part of the league that plays like that. You have to figure out a way to play defense. Trent Dilfer was talking about this yesterday. I don't know if you guys heard it. No one yet has figured out how to stop that pistol. When you have a guy who can throw, too, not Tim Tebow, who's going to complete 40%, but if you have, like, Colin Kaepernick completed, they had some numbers that he, on first and second down throws, he was, like, 12 for 13 in the game the other day for, like, 180 yards. When you have a guy that can throw, you got to make decisions. Right. And he was saying it's all about math. It's about numbers of blockers on the outside and geometry. It's angles.
Well, it is.
And
but
you have to figure out.
I still haven't seen anybody hit the quarterback. I don't understand that. Because
well, Robert Griffin got hit, but he seemed
no,
to be
I
the
mean
only
every
one.
Play
on the fake.
Yes,
yeah.
Because you know what? They hit running backs with the play action fake.
Right.
I don't understand when the quarterback lets go of the ball why he's not being hit.
Put a guy in him and say. Every
I mean, to
time,
me, that was the age old way to stop any option attack is to hit the quarterback.
Except
and I don't think that
you tell a guy
like
except
that.
After the pass, you hit him on every play.
Right. Yeah, you can't do a pass because right. there's rule. Right. I don't believe there's rules keeping you from when they're running the option down the line.
Right.
Drilling him.
Right.
I think that'll put an end to this.
Yeah.
Because these quarterbacks that are drafted in the first round that right. they're getting blown up with regularity.
I agree with you, Andy. Because even back in high school when you know we used to see all this stuff. I mean, I thought
he had the ball.
Right.
Well, that's what we
and
used
you have
say.
To. You right. The official can't say you need to assume that he doesn't have the ball.
Right.
No. He's playing me right now, so I have to play that
but,
like he has
know,
the ball.
Coaches are afraid to give up that man.
But I wonder.
But they should.
Why? Maybe it's a short term loss. Maybe you'll get burnt a couple times. Yeah. But long term, you're going to gain as a defense. You're going to knock these buttheads out of there.
I hear
But I wonder how. Teams are going about their defensive game plans when they're playing. You know, is it like, all right, well, this week we're playing Washington, so we have to be concerned with this stuff. And, you know, remember how we were taken so off guard the first time in Denver, the first quarter?
Right.
You know, we were talking about Ninkovich was making decisions and getting blown up and stuff, and it took him a quarter and a half to figure it out. I wonder what they're doing. Are they doing what Andy's saying? Like, when I played high school football back in the dark ages, everybody ran the ball a predominant amount of times, and the only time they ever threw was after a couple of fakes like that, and then they would kind of drop back and throw a pass.
Right.
Are they making decisions at the defensive end? You have the quarterback? Is the old age-old principles? Is that the way they play this now? Because it doesn't seem like they do.
No.
They were showing the other day how many times the Atlanta guys were slamming down, and when they did, Kaepernick kept it and threw it, or when they didn't, the two easy touchdown runs for LaMichael James and for Gore. Because they're just playing, they're overplaying the outside and making sure that Kaepernick, they're just slamming upfield.
Right.
And the running back was coming right inside.
And how many times did Kaepernick actually hand off on the option and just kind of veer off and no one was around him? Not a single soul.
I think that's the key, is just hit the guy.
Yeah.
Every time you get, treat him like a running back. You know, the old Marshall Faulk Bill said, we're just going to get. I would take these quarterbacks and I'd make them pay every time they were anywhere near a defender. And
it's
occasionally I might get a 15 or occasionally I might give up a play. But you know what? Long term, I'm going to win this battle. You're going to be out of the game.
But I'll tell you what's going to be have a hard time.
Kill the
playing.
Head and the body will fall.
Throw them all out there, Andy. But what's going to have a hard time, I think, surviving with these spread attacks, these spread zone attacks, is 330-pound interior defensive linemen.
Well, and this is the old John Hanna thing. It'll go one way, and then the best way to beat these 270-pound linemen is to run right at them, and then it'll start to go back the other way, and it's all cyclical.
But this is just the beginning of the pendulum swinging towards
the
spread option offense.
The problem with Belichick is you're right. He was ahead of this curve, but he was behind it because he kept saying, a guy like Tim Tebow is going to revolutionize. No, because he can't throw, Bill. He sucks. He's
but,
a fullback.
You know, it is so
the
funny.
Guy who's going to revolutionize it is the guy RG3 who can run and throw.
Yeah, when you look at it, you know, you look at the evolution of the offensive line, you know, it used to be that guys were more athletic, you know, under 300 pounds, and then Washington and Dallas came up with the 300-pounders, and they were dominating on the line and winning. So now we have to address that. It's all amazing, goes through. You know,
but we just—it's weird. Like the Patriots are building towards the Colts, but too slowly. And I'm not sure if that's the right way to win, because I think the Colts, to some degree, were ahead of their time. I think the Colts, 10 years later, may have been the team of the decade more so than they were, because you couldn't bang them, you couldn't be physical with them, they had the pass rushers, they had kind of what you needed for this age of football 10 years too early. Now we're on offense, we're saying the Patriots are soft and they've gone this way, and they need more edge rushers, they need to get their Freeney and Mathis on. It's like now they're going to become the Colts, because that's what wins now.
But
that's another
interesting point. But if the league does evolve, like Paul said, you know, with these, you know, Geno Smith and all that, what does that do to the edge rushers? Is that kind of
well? No, I think the more speed, the more speed and talent you have on the edge for that is it works. You want athletes out there.
If it's a guy that can
you
also,
want, you know, you
seal
want
Julius edge.
Peppers, who's long, athletic,
DeMarcus
can move.
Right.
Those guys,
a guy that can also.
You don't
play
want
run.
Jermaine Cunningham,
right?
Chandler Jones.
Right. But then he's like, wait, he's a Patriot. I want him.
Fred, Chandler Jones.
Right.
Yes,
you want Chandler Jones out there. You want an athlete out there.
And you want a guy who's going to go train with his brother and work on his quickness and his skills, fighting blocks, all of that. That's what you want. Now you just need a couple more of them. You need him to develop. Maybe you're going in the right direction.
And then as soon as someone comes up with a pocket passer, he'll dominate.
You know, you brought up the whole Colts thing, too, how they were ahead of their time. That's another element right now that I think is sort of going against the Patriots in the playoffs is I think these refs have called the games much looser in the playoffs. They've let them get away with a lot
more.
They
let you kick people.
And I think there was only one interference or illegal contact penalty the other night. And I said one secondary penalty in the whole game. It was on Dennard when he absolutely mugged the guy.
And it should have been illegal contact.
No, it shouldn't have been. The ball was in the air.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, either way.
I think they were going to let the illegal contact go, and had he let go, but he never let go. At some point, I got to throw the flag, son.
But the Ravens were very physical with the Patriots receivers. Now, a lot of that was inside of 5 yards, but I've seen those get called for holding before. In the regular season, I just think that the refs are a little bit more lenient, and they don't want to throw.
Postseason football's better.
They don't want to throw a lot of flags for that kind of stuff, unless it's a really egregious play. I thought there was some deep balls that Baltimore had that there was some contact that might have drawn a pass interference penalty in the regular season that didn't. The one that Arrington sort of fell down in front of Smith, almost cross body blocked him. Now I think it was incidental contact. It was a great no call, but in the regular season, I've seen that 40 yards for nothing.
Kevin, what do we got up after us?
Patriots playbook.
Oh, but he is coming in at 2?
Yeah, and we have Football Nation as well.
I was going to say maybe we should extend the show a little bit.
Oh, I would have loved to have done that.
Cuz there's a
why don't you just include Rook in it?
Okay.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Not a bad idea.
You're just kind of like
we got a lot of decisions on the fly.
We got
I'm sure he would not mind.
Halftime adjustments.
We got a lot of emails and you know, I feel bad.
You haven't read a single one yet.
I know.
We've had 90 minutes. Part of that is my fault. I branched off.
So let's just take a break at 2 when he comes in and then we'll just go on.
Sorry.
We still got a lot of calls too, so quickly, Al in New Jersey. Hey Al.
Hey, how you doing? You know, excuse me because I haven't listened to your guys' show, so I don't know if I'm going to be saying something different.
The Patriots lost.
Believe me, I had about 6 beers during the game, and I don't drink.
And I don't. You know, I don't drink. Bars. Yeah. Very underrated in that sense.
Yeah, let me ask you this. You know, it was a tough win, and you know, it shows you how winning is not easy. Now, let me ask you this: do you think the hit on Welker had anything to do with him dropping that third down pass?
I don't know.
I think it might because I saw him look downfield a little
he
bit.
He was looking in. It looked like he was taking a peek inside.
Oh, you mean psychologically, not physically?
Yeah, psychologically.
Yeah, because I personally thought that was a turning point that I saw at that time because they did have the lead at that time. And it was 3rd and 7 at the time, which would have been a first down.
Yep. And around the 20-yard line, they were going to get at least a field goal on that drive.
Right, and the other thing, too, and I had said this last week, so I'm not changing my thought on it. You know, Gronk being out, I mean, he's a great player and all, and this is the way I feel, and you're probably not going to agree. You know, he's not in the Super Bowl last year, and I think it had a big effect on them losing. He's not in there this year, and it's just that, I mean, they have a great offense, but they only score 13 points, and you know, it's not his fault that he gets injured, but you know what? No Super Bowl last year. They could have won that Super Bowl. The playoff this year, he's not in it. And you know, is that brought up ever, or am I just...
No, we talked about about that earlier on. Yeah,
well, I think there was the single biggest factor in the game on Sunday.
Oh, just the fact that... I think your point there, Al, is not just that... Is this going to be what we have to look forward to?
Well, you know, we've gotten a lot of that. We've gotten emails, you know, Gronk's the best tight end to play six games a year.
I mean, really, we're going there now?
No, that's absurd.
Are we really going there? Because he broke his forearm twice, and once because they said he was okay, and he clearly wasn't okay.
Yeah.
But you've said it at the beginning of the season, with the way he plays, is injury going to be part
of his
career?
This wasn't that. If you had told me he took a big hit, injury wasn't that.
You're right.
And I would argue neither of the two injuries he's had. They just freak injuries.
Especially the first one.
Blocking
down on
an extra
point. I
think he's played through all the stuff that I thought could be, you know, big blows to the back while he drags.
I'm not nearly as surprised at the second break, given that it was already broken and probably wasn't, you know, properly healed. And he falls on it, the whole weight of his body falling on it. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. The first one was a freak injury. It wasn't like he gets, you know, just tackled in the middle of the field and,
he barely, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? He's not an injury prone guy. Yes, no. He had a back injury in college that made him miss a season, but he's not the kind of, he takes some ridiculous hits and gets up from them.
Right. Injury prone was this year Logan Mankins. And I love him. I think he's as tough as anybody, but every week it was a hip, it was a calf, it was a this. It was like everything was leading to the next.
Right.
That's injury prone for this season. That's what injury prone is this year.
And he's a guy who's never hurt, but he gets to about 30 years old, and that's what happens.
So I think that was a big part of why they lost the game. If you don't have your second best playmaker in there on offense, and it looked as though, I mean, you know, no one runs deep. Lloyd, like, he trips over his feet. Was he this way? Has he always been this way?
As a Patriot,
As a matter of fact, Strippers just sent us a video, and this is before he was a Patriot, I think. It's his highlights.
Is he falling down against Denver?
It's like 12 minutes of highlights, and 8 minutes of them are him falling down.
Really? Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
Right. And one more question I want to ask you. The Vereen fumble, was he sitting down when he fumbled?
You mean Ridley?
Ridley,
no. Rather.
It looked to me like the ball was coming loose just before his backside hit the ground.
And that's what Bill Levy said in his post game.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, I thought it was a fumble, and you know, if it wasn't, I'd be the first one to say.
Well, I thought it was really obvious. I thought there was like a dark background behind his butt. Something in the distance, you could really see that he was still above the like they were kind of moving it back and forth, and you could see he hadn't hit yet.
I mean, for Fred to say it, I mean, he insists that they actually won the other game that they lost. So. That speaks volumes.
And another aspect of that, and thanks for the call, Al, that I just wanted to clear up was, there's no helmet-to-helmet contact. You know, he's not a quarterback. He's not a defenseless player. That's not a rule.
A defenseless running back.
Maybe it'll be a rule as they move forward on this player safety and everything. But right now, that's not illegal, that hit.
I heard Mike Pereira yesterday with my buddies, Felger and Mads, which, by the way, is one of the best segments in radio. If you guys ever get a chance
to hear the only thing that's good on that show.
Mondays, I think it's on in the 5 o'clock hour. It's the second highest rated segment they have to the Wednesday segment with PFW Paul.
Sunshine.com.
Wiggy wiggy.
He said basically exactly what Andy said. It's not illegal. Helmet to helmet contact on a runner is not illegal. It's a defenseless receiver. They're going to do everything they can to protect him, whether it's a helmet or a forearm, anything above the neck, basically above the shoulders, is going to be called. And that face to face contact, they're going to call. He actually brought up the Mayo hit on Pitta was the same thing, and was surprised that didn't draw a penalty as well. And he said, now look, they might look at a hit like this, which was vicious. And they might look at a hit like this and say, we need to do something about that. Pereira said, I hope they don't. It's going to be impossible for the officials to judge that. And B, and this is going to make Andy very happy, there's just basically an element of violence to football.
Yeah.
That you really can't legislate out.
But there is existing language that talks about any player that uses the crown of his helmet as a weapon.
So
wasn't spearing.
Right. But out of curiosity,
it doesn't always have to be against a defensive.
But that's spearing, and that's been around for 100 years.
Right.
Now, the thing that worries me about
this. Who would you call that on?
If they put a rule in here, now you not only make the officials say that's an illegal hit, but who initiated that?
Right.
Did the running back lower his helmet? Because Adrian Peterson would get him.
Right.
I'll tell you that much. Or should get them. But I'd rather, it's football. If you're going to start legislating those hits out where two men who can see each other, okay, no more football. Sorry. Go to flag. End the game. You know, I know player safety. If player safety is truly the most important thing, then you need to end the game because that's part of football.
And that's basically what Pereira said. There's an element of violence in the game that you just can't legislate out. It's part of football. And he even said, he goes, you know, Ridley lowered his helmet just like Paul had lowered the helmet. It was a vicious hit. I'm not trying to, like, say.
Oh, as scary a knockout as we've seen in a while.
Oh, my God. It was, like, just stunning the way his body just sort of went limp.
Yeah. And he's got to be sore in other places other than the head, the way his, you know, the one leg was behind him and he was bent completely at the waist. I don't know if he's normally flexible enough to, like, I got to think other things were sore when he woke up. And he was in the locker room, I will say. He didn't speak. Stacy, the media relations director, said he can't speak. And I don't know really what that means, but he said he couldn't speak, but he was in there.
Supposedly, they said it was a minor head injury.
Easy for them
minor.
To say.
Sure, minor's when it's not affecting you.
That's what they said.
Who said that?
Adam is in Alexandria, Virginia. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, just a comment and a quick question. When Talib left the game, I knew that was it. I just had a feeling everyone was talking about Smith coming into the game. And all week I was saying, I think with a good coaching staff and halfway decent players, that it's easier to take away the deep threat with like double teaming and combination coverages as with a big, strong physical receiver. You can't really do it the same way. You need to match up. And the only guy we have, other than maybe Razai or Dowling, would be Talib. And sure enough, as soon as he left, Bolden got us for two touchdowns. And my question is kind of related to that. Hindsight 2020, of course, but they didn't activate either of those emergency DB special teams guys, Williams or Martin. They had Jones active. Did he even play? I didn't see him out there.
Yeah, a couple Chandler snaps. Jones. I didn't see him, but apparently a couple snaps on the goal line.
Goal line plays, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sure if they would have known Talib was going to go down, they probably would have rather had a healthy DB body than a guy who can only play a couple snaps. So.
Well, I don't think those guys would have
played.
Those
guys, yeah.
You would have had the same guys that were out there.
If those guys that you mentioned were on the field, it would have been worse.
You already had a special teamer in Cole.
No, I'm not saying to put Malcolm Williams or Martin and line them up, you know, one-on-one, but I think it would give you more flexibility and cover, you know, the more defensive backs you have.
But you had Wilson, you had Arrington and Cole out there.
You didn't lack numbers, you lacked talent.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point.
See, Derek.
All right, Adam.
House
thanks
rocked.
For the call.
Yeah,
was he the one?
Yeah,
I saw. I saw it
in Aurora, which I found was interesting too. I didn't know that. Now looking back at the theater thing out there.
Oh. Yeah.
And also, it wasn't empty. So I'm sorry, but this doesn't seem like a regular robbery. There was a party going on. They were watching the game, and men with guns came in and robbed the place.
Oh wow.
So you know, this isn't really. No one was home. Let's get a quick. This stinks a little.
Jerry's in California. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning. I know you guys are kind of in a hurry, so I'll kind of make this quick. First of all, it was a tough, tough loss. No way around that. But I might kind of point out that not all of us, you know, drowned our sorrow in ice cream and lime pie. So, however, putting everything in kind of a big picture perspective, you know, someone like me that has Steve Grogan as one of my heroes, I certainly understand that every game can't be won, and the Super Bowl is not won every year, this, that, and the other. So I still think the team is a good team. I think Brady's still a good quarterback. As a matter of fact, as poorly as the offense played, if you go back to a few plays, I know Welker maybe on the first drive or somewhere in the first quarter, it was a long, long pass down the middle that he got his hands on it. It would have been a good catch, but it was certainly a catchable ball. If that had been caught, a few others have been caught. Things may have been different if Talib hadn't went out or whatever. You know, before, when he was in the game, the Patriot defense was playing very aggressive defense. And after he went out, they were playing very defensive defense, and it really showed up. The last question I have is, I think I heard Andy say he was going to be running a marathon sometime. When's he actually going to run that?
April 15th. It's the Boston Marathon, Patriots Day, whatever the date is. I believe it's April 15th.
So you qualified to run the Boston Marathon?
Anyone can run that.
No. No. Charity.
Spit take.
You get a number through charity. I'm running it for the Patriots Charitable Foundation.
Okay, well, today's not the day, but sometime I'll call up and give you some good advice that I know you'll ignore. So,
all right, Jerry. Sounds like you're a marathoner. All right, Jerry.
I look forward to it, Jerry. Long off season. I look forward to it.
I say if the advice doesn't include what type of sports depends to wear, then it's not going to be valuable to
anyone. Well, nothing has come out during this show the amount of times
I
just let loose.
Yeah. Oh, you should hear me running. Because when you run, it's funny because like, your butt cheeks are moving. So it goes like, wah, 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 as I'm running. And I always like.
He's an Oregon Ducks fan.
I look around to see if there's anybody around.
I just laugh, like, you know how like on TV they'll show like some of the back of the pack sometimes. It's just people and Andy running and people behind him going, oh, Rusty,
I do, like
a Seinfeld episode.
I will click it on this year, and I almost never do, but I just for that random shot of like the whole thing, just to see if I could see Andy. Be easy to pick out for.
He'll look like one of those Macy's Sputnik balloons with the head. Yeah,
he gets all mad.
It'd be funny to see the total number of people who start the race, and then Andy Hart comes in last because 7,000 people behind him were knocked out from the noxious
chemical
odor.
Chemical warfare.
Right. I'm going to use it to shoot me up the hills.
Getting back to how serious fast stuff. You go, you'll finish last. Anybody behind you is
not going to make it.
the Brady, according to Ed Werder, the Brady slide and kick is being reviewed by the NFL.
Well, I think he should be penalized.
I do, too. I think he deserved $50,000.
Another one of the – this is the example, and I know you thought I was making a joke about you earlier, and I wasn't. Another example of Fred just kind of – I think you had, like, the acceptance early in this game. It was like midway through the third quarter when you just kind of saw the writing on the wall.
No, when I first saw it, like, I thought he just had it up to defend himself in case the guy decided to jump. But he aimed and kicked.
He extended.
Yeah.
It's actually even, to me, more egregious. Everybody's comparing it to the Sue one where he whipped the leg around and caught, who was that in the cookies?
Matt Schaub.
Was it Schaub in the cookies?
Yeah. Was it?
But which I thought this was
which
targeted.
Which explains his late season performance when he showed none of those.
Well, maybe that's why he was able to get right up after the Sue thing. He didn't hit anything. There was nothing there to hit.
He took it a step further.
But I think he deserves to be fined. I thought it was one of the cheapest type plays I've ever seen. Just
very something that
cheap.
Got overlooked. I always find it kind of humorous, but there were hits in the Houston game that drew fines for the Patriots. Gregory got one.
And Gostkowski
got one. I think it's funny when the kicker gets a $15,000 fine.
If I were him, I'd be framing that letter and putting it on the wall with pride.
We've got a good picture by one of our photographers that clearly shows him sticking his leg out.
The trip later.
God, yeah. I mean, that was – I can't believe that didn't get penalized.
Yeah.
Can't believe that.
But didn't Pereira immediately tweet that attempting to trip is not a penalty?
Not a penalty?
Tripping
I think he did trip him. I think he knocked him off balance with the trip. That's how he fell.
Could be. I didn't think he made contact, but I don't.
Well, he could have just tripped
him up by avoiding.
Yeah.
Could be.
The Brady play, and I was really surprised by the amount of people on Twitter that sort of called Brady out for that. I thought
you were also surprised at how angry I got.
Well, there was Andy. I want to try to remember. I don't know if I can remember the exact words, but Andy said something along the lines of, it was the dirtiest play in the history of sports.
Right.
I thought it was really cheap.
It was cheap.
The part of it that bothers me is you're doing it at a time when you're protected. To me, that's what pushes it over the line. No one can touch you, but you're going to do something that's engaging contact and toward another Hall of Famer, another great player. And if you look, his foot was right on his knee, inside of
it. It could have been worse.
He could have blown out his knee. If that were a hard hit, and you're sliding, you don't know exactly, you know, I don't know if you're trying to really hurt him or just whatever, but can you imagine if he took out Ed Reed's knee?
Yeah.
That would be awful.
It was very bratty.
It was a very rich kid, bratty. Things aren't going my way, so I'm going to lash out.
Right.
Yeah. And I only had one guy.
Might as well beat him with
really
a silver spoon.
I retweeted somebody that was making fun of Brady, for the kick. And I said, hard to disagree. I think there was some comments out of the Baltimore locker room that was saying that they didn't like that. And I said, hard to disagree. And someone tweeted me and said, I still haven't seen the kick. And I was someone said something about it would be different. Yeah. How many cheap shots has Ed Reed given over his career? And I said, I've never seen him kick anyone like that. And they tweeted me back saying, I still haven't seen the kick. And I would just say, then you didn't watch it.
Right. You had blinders
It was blatant kick.
Fred saw it, and Fred sees nothing.
I saw it.
Selective
he had one,
vision.
One leg was virtually on the ground, and the other one was up waist level, conservatively.
He was looking. He knew what he was doing.
And he was trying to protect himself, but I just don't think you kick to protect yourself.
The other thing, if we're going to just go over the controversial things or whatever, the Mrs. Welker, I have no problem with what she said.
No.
Now, I would have...
If I was Wes, I wouldn't want it
if I were the player.
If I was Wes, I would
but
say...
But the truth is never wrong.
But I think she was absolutely
mean,
right.
You said.
And I will...
This was a little mean. She was intending to be mean.
And I will... And the final controversial thing, I will defend Bill Belichick at the end of the game. Now, I know that he set up the perception, so everything he's done in the past makes him open to this criticism, but that was not a prearranged thing that he blew
off. Was not contractually obligated to that? I'm with Fred then.
There was a post-game agreement, and we sent McCourty over. And McCourty did it, but there was no thing where the coaches would definitely do it.
Okay.
It was up to the Patriots.
Just a question. Don't yell at me.
Yeah.
When was the last time a losing coach didn't? I mean, is it common?
Yeah, the game before the losing coach didn't do it.
Okay. Then I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would in a perfect world.
In Atlanta, you mean?
I think it's very easy to just go over and say, you know, mumble three things and leave. But if he wasn't.
It was not an agreed upon thing. If it was an agreed upon thing and he blew him off, he deserves a criticism. But that wasn't the case.
And on the other side of it,
so why was CBS so mad?
It was
particularly
it was Shannon
Sharp.
I mean, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. Andy's right about that. He earns that.
Oh, yeah. I said that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, when you do that every time,
right?
You deserve to, you know, the slings and arrows that come with it. But if he's not obligated to do it, I still think he should do it. I think that's right and wrong, and that's right. He chooses not to do that, but that's fine. If he didn't have to do it, then to each his own. That's what he chooses to do.
You know, and
on the other side, I'll give Bill credit, and I don't have any idea what was said, but John Harbaugh said that he was beyond classy in the post game, and they sort of
took a while, right?
Yeah, that was not a brief little, you know, congratulations.
Could have been Harbaugh apologizing for the five times in the last 2 years.
Belichick.
He brought up Spygate and all these things, you know, just ripping Belichick, the guy who, by all accounts, got him the job or gave him the big promotion.
Well, that's because next year we're going to take Ed Reed from him.
But John said he was beyond classy about that.
Yeah,
the other part about the Reed thing, if Baltimore isn't going to pay him, why are we going to pay him?
Right.
When has that ever happened?
But we're thinking if he leaves there, he'd be willing to take anything. But
we paid Sean Springs more than anyone else would have paid him.
But if he leaves there, he's obviously not willing to take anything.
Right.
No, but maybe he just... Maybe he knows how much Bill loves him and he wants to come. I don't know.
But you know what I'm saying?
But we've also wasted money on older players before. Like Sean Springs, we paid him more than anybody in their right mind would have paid him.
No, but my point is the report in Baltimore stated that he doesn't think he'll be back because he doesn't think the Ravens will pay him.
Right.
So if he's not just going to resign to stay in Baltimore,
but they're in
he's not going to take less money.
Is there an option?
No, I think there's a chance that he could make more here than he would there.
I don't.
Oh,
is there an option?
Because by all accounts, they're in close to cap
I think
trouble.
He's a free agent.
He's a complete
free agent.
Yeah, I don't.
He's
I don't
a partial
think,
free agent.
No.
I don't think he'll get offered more by the Patriots
year,
than he would
an option.
No, he's a free agent.
Yeah.
And they are supposedly have to sign Kruger, who wants like $9 million a year. I'd let him walk. I have no interest in paying that guy.
They liked him. They said he was their best pass rusher.
Yeah, fine.
Not Sunday, wasn't he?
Who's our best pass rusher?
The only time I noticed him Sunday
was... Rob Ninkovich. I'd let him walk, too. I wouldn't pay him $10 million a year.
And I don't have any idea why, but he was in pass coverage far too often on Sunday night. And then the only time I noticed him was when he dropped an interception.
There's these guys that think they're in the league of like DeMarcus Ware. Oh, I have you suck. You're not that good.
They have good players that when they leave, like Jarrett Johnson was the guy that Kruger kind of replaced. Everybody said, this is really the most underrated guy. He's the guy. He sets the
Adalius Thomas.
Adalius Thomas, Dwayne Starks.
Edgerton Hartwell. He got hurt. That wasn't fair.
There's a million of them.
Yeah. Ellerby. I mean, he's a good player, but is he that good?
Ellerby's been around longer than I thought.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he'd been around for as long as he has been.
Boston Dave writes in. We'll get to some emails.
Wow!
Yeah.
In our last 5 minutes.
Hey, you know what? It's one of those, you know, high society problems that we have. You know, too many calls.
Robert says that a lot.
Yeah.
It's a high-class problem.
Boston says, first, let me say, I hope that Stephen Ridley's okay. That was a nasty hit that he took. Last week, Bill Belichick said that you can't win wars sitting in a foxhole. You have to attack. This week, the Patriots had the ball three times inside Baltimore's 45-yard line and punt each time. So much for attacking. Do you think Belichick coached too conservative?
Yes.
We all do. I think we think, you know, and, you know, he said on EEI yesterday that, you know, he felt good about his defense. You know, so he felt like punting the ball, pinning him back, you'd get the ball back. I understand that. But I also feel like if you do feel good about your defense and you have Tom Brady, take the chance.
Right.
Because your defense is going to hold, you know.
You don't think they can go 90, but you think they can go 70.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, what's the very big difference there?
Yeah, I understand back in the day, you know, when you had that defense and your offense wasn't as good as, you know, Tom Brady, you do play that field position because you know your defense is going to, you know, have your back. But I say here, just for that reason, take the chance.
Well, I think he had a little Pete Shepard in him, and he didn't think that Flacco was going to beat him throwing, you know, 15, 18-yard in-cuts down the field, 10, 12, 11-play drives. I think he thought, okay, the wind's affecting the deep passing game. I don't think they're going to go 90 by doing other stuff to
I bet you if he knew that Tlaib was going to get hurt, he would have gone for it.
But Tlaib was out when he didn't go for it.
Tlaib
That's
was out.
Part of it. Well, that's part of why I don't understand why he had so much.
Hadn't he just gone out?
I don't understand why he had so much confidence.
Well, yeah, it looked like there was a chance he was coming back.
Wait a minute. One of them was in the third quarter. You know, 4th and 8 from the 34.
Well,
that was as egregious as any of them. And Tlaib had long since, 2 hours earlier, was out of the game. The other one that was really bad was 4th and 2. 4th and 2 from the 35.
Yeah.
He's not good with 4th and 2s.
4th and 2 from the 35. He went for a 4th and 2 in his own 29.
Yeah, I don't know why he did that. Yeah.
You need a whole show to rip this.
Listen,
between the clock management at the end of the half and punting.
But I can't be hypocritical, Andy. I have been very, very, very critical of coaches who are afraid to win and coaches that aren't willing to make tough decisions when the game is on the line. I even mentioned it on the pregame social. John Harbaugh is one of those guys that I sort of wonder, does he get tight in these spots and is afraid? Well, I think it was just the opposite. In the fourth quarter, I thought he was insane for dropping back to throw three straight times after they stopped him on the fourth down that Brady scrambled and threw the ball incomplete.
Well,
in the end
because
zone.
He's never happy.
Three straight pass. Well, didn't you think that was a little bit? I mean, one of them.
Yeah,
was,
but you want him to be aggressive. Then yeah, he's aggressive. He says crazy.
Well, he said that in his post-game press conference. He said, Paul Perillo's been ripping me every game the last few years. And so I
have
to
play these games, these teams a lot. So I read PFW.
Right.
Just for the record, I did not get Ray Lewis to say Paul at the end of one of his
interviews. That's too bad.
No, but he did suck Joe Flacco's schlong talking about what's that? What's that league?
Why do
you
think that's appropriate?
Did you know this?
He went up
to him and he said, I used to cover you for Northeastern in Delaware, and it was so great. It's great to see somebody from that conference make it. And I love you, man. And I drive to Richmond every year.
That's not what I said.
That's in Delaware.
That's kind of what I said. No, it's not. I said nothing.
You're an embarrassment to the profession.
First, I stopped him after his press conference to ask him a few questions about Tlaib.
And
the wind.
And
about football.
And then you
and
slipped
then
it
when
in.
When I was done, I threw it in there that I had covered him when he was at Delaware. And
I remember that game. I was 4-5. And blah, 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 blah. Thanks
six.
For remembering
remember that. Yeah, that was cool.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I said nothing about I love you and because you're in the CAA and I go to Richmond. I said nothing like that.
I'm a loser.
Anyway, Joe Flacco went up a few notches in my book because he actually stopped to talk to me.
You are such a David also says, why is it that Brady struggles against this defense? With Baltimore's defense older, why wasn't the no-huddle used more consistently, maybe try to tire them out for the second half?
Because they couldn't convert.
Yeah. No huddle and no conversions
this is,
equals
Andy was, Andy
no
was
good.
Talking this all week. The no-huddle is great when it works.
Right.
And I know that's
it's kind of,
it's,
but
it seemed
no, it's,
to be an Andyism, but it's true.
It's kind of an offshoot of the Patriots offense in general. When your finesse scheme thing's working, and yes, your no huddle's working against teams that aren't good enough on defense, woo-wee, we're
very,
rolling.
Very first,
but when you play a good defense that can shut down your offense, well, they can shut it down even faster if you go no huddle.
Very first drive of the game, Patriots get the ball at their own 20. They get first play, right guard for 5 yards, no huddle, second and 5. No huddle, first and 10. No huddle, second and 7. No huddle, third and 2. Punt. First drive, they went no huddle. They didn't move the ball. You know, they went no huddle, and a good portion of that game.
I know that they did it quite a bit because I know because I'm trying to do the blog and I'm watching the game, and I know when the tempo's up because I don't have
you
a lot of time in
right.
between.
The other part
and
of it
I felt
is,
that way a lot.
The other part of it is, I'm looking here, the first drive of the second quarter, no huddle, no huddle, no huddle, no
punt.
Huddle. I mean, every play. The other part of it is when the ball's incomplete, it's hard to push tempo.
Yeah. Right. And when they weren't, I know they, what did they end up, 3.9 average on the ground, something like that?
Yeah, they didn't
they
run
got
the ball.
Over,
you're
they got
absolutely
over
right.
100
they
yards,
the
but they
well
didn't run the ball well.
Well, it's actually
they
weird.
Really
I thought the numbers don't necessarily show. I thought Baltimore controlled the line of scrimmage
they
on
did.
Both sides. And, you know, it doesn't.
You look at it and you say 28 for 108 and no
it,
sacks.
It looks good.
What are you talking about?
Right. I thought the line of scrimmage was a standoff.
Yeah, I thought Baltimore won it.
I thought Baltimore won it.
Baltimore had an edge.
And they never
slight
they
edge.
Very rarely sent more than three guys.
No.
Yeah.
And I thought that they were they didn't have tremendous pressure. You put it they didn't have any runaway rushers. I couldn't agree more. But I thought they got around him, especially on important passes.
In his
third
mind,
and seven, they got around him a little bit and, with very little devoted to the pass.
And
rush.
And that's why I think the no huddle also didn't seem as effective either, because if you're breaking off 8, 9, 12 yards a run. Now the defenders have to hustle back to get behind the line. That tires them out. When you're stopping a guy for 2 or 3 yards,
allow you to
incompletions,
get set up?
Defense is already set up. No huddle's not going to be that effective.
Set up, you can substitute. Yeah. You can do a lot of things.
You know, and we're talking about pressure. Well, how many passes did they bat down at the line? At least 3 or 4.
They had.
I thought it was 2.
They had 2 batted.
Only 2?
Yeah.
Well, I thought McPhee had at least that many.
He had both. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? There was a deflection off a that wasn't batted
it
at
wasn't
the line.
Out of line.
It went
was about
10
field.
Yards.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went, well, not even that far. It went 10 yards backwards. Maybe.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, after the deflection, it shot
yeah,
out.
But it
of
wasn't.
There.
But the
hardest
that was
deflection
like a pass
I've ever
batted
seen.
Down
right.
at the line.
Right. Yeah.
The immaculate deflection.
Right. Let's see. Jay writes in. He's from Columbus, Ohio. Well, I finally rolled out of bed after hitting the wild turkey very hard Sunday night and Monday. Rough couple of days. First thought, the Patriots are a soft team. They look like they wanted no part of the Ravens in their physical play. The Patriots are a finesse team.
Thank you.
And year after year, we see our Patriots can't win rough games. Second thought, as soon as Tlaib went out, I knew we were absolutely effed. How pathetic is this defense that one player goes out and they can't seem to do anything without him? In two games against the Ravens, the Patriots had only one sack on Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Are you effing kidding me? Only one sack? Mm-hmm. This defense reared its ugly head again Sunday. I guess the plus is we don't have to go to the Super Bowl and get beat again.
Oh, man.
San Francisco would San Francisco would do the same thing to us. Either way, I still love my Pats and can't wait till next week. Well, next year.
Technically, they had two.
Two guys went out. I mean, who's he talking about?
Tlaib.
Oh,
well, what about Chandler Jones, too?
Oh, but I think he said Tlaib in the email.
Oh, okay, because I think Chandler Jones is a big deal. Yeah. Pass defense.
I do, too, but I
not
don't.
Like change the game. I still think they would have lost, but
it's a factor.
I don't think Chandler Jones on Sunday was a big deal.
God bless him in his little motor, but.
Chandler Jones' injury initially, to me, was a big deal. Like, he hasn't been Chandler Jones since, to me.
Right.
But. That's a big deal.
I mean, I still argue your two best all-around athletes, players, playmakers weren't on the field. One was in the owner's box, and one was warming his hands in his pants.
And the other part, I mean, technically they had two sacks on Sunday.
Yeah, they had one.
But they really only had one, and even the one was...
Oh, I liked the one. That was a nice move.
It was a great play by...
You pressure the outside, and then boom, into the inside.
It was a great play
nice.
By Ninkovich. I just think he had plenty of time to throw the ball and didn't have anybody open.
Yeah, I love you, Joe Flacco. You're plenty talented.
That's a positive for Joe Flacco.
What are they, the Blue Hens or whatever?
That's
the Blue Hens?
Yeah, that's a positive for the quarterback. He had plenty of time to throw the ball and just didn't.
Blue Hens, I love you, man.
Eddie writes
I like big, tall, stiff quarterbacks.
There is a trend there. Maybe he'll open a winery after he retires. Eddie writes in.
There is a trend there.
So disappointing. What's more worrying? And he has three different things.
Losing at home in the playoffs.
The fact that we were completely outcoached in the second half. The Ravens clearly made the correct adjustments at halftime and totally dominated the second half on both sides of the ball. Or
that's not good.
The fact that our players were not good enough when the game was slipping away. Where was the leadership? Nobody stepped up to stamp their authority on the game. Or our defense, no pressure and then no coverage to compound it. The middle of the field was wide open all day because we're so scared of the deep ball. The D-line applied no pressure to Flacco. I don't expect Wolfork, Love, and Dedrick to produce a lot of pressure, but where was our edge pressure from the ends and linebackers? We get away with it when the offense puts up 35, but when they stall, it really exposes the defense. It looks like our head coach was lucky to have McGinnis, Law, Johnson, and Malloy years ago. He doesn't look like the defensive guru that he's been labeled. It's easy to have a dominant defense when you have those players.
The third one is the most – I'm still concerned that they don't have the pass defense talent right now. That's, to me – I don't think Bill is always going to, quote, get out-coached, and, you know, I'm not sure they're always going to look that glassy look that I saw with Mayo. But if you don't have the guys, you don't have the guys. You can't play.
You know how we always talk about before the game, if both teams play their best, you know, who will win? And we always say it's impossible because no matter what happens, like Sunday, for example, I don't think anybody would say the Patriots played their best. Right?
Right.
Like, so you can't say, like, well, they both played their best and the Ravens won.
That's like the Indy game in 06. Both teams played their hearts out, and Indy won.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there was a lot of mistakes along the way on both sides that would lead both sides to say they didn't play their best, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you allow...
Patriots say they had the flu in that game,
the way,
too.
Yeah.
Plus, they started Eric Alexander. They played their best.
The way that emailer just phrased it, too, like, they couldn't figure out that they were thrown to the middle of the field because they were so concerned about the deep ball. Well, yes. But isn't that logical? I mean, the Ravens do that very well. If you take away the middle, they're going to go to the outside and go to the deep ball.
And we said that's going to be a problem.
I mean, Champ Bailey, the week before, Denver said, our safeties are a little weak. We're going to try to take away the middle of the field. Champ Bailey's so good, we're going to let him take Torrey Smith. And it killed him because he couldn't handle him. So the Patriots this week said, we can't let those easy throws. We got to make them work for it. Like Andy said, I think Bill might have looked at it and said, I'm not sure Flacco can go 20 yards at a time until he went 20 yards at a time four times in a row.
Son of a bitch, he did it.
All right, it's 2 o'clock, so it's time to take a break. I think we're going to hang on a little bit. John Rook's going to come in and start the playbook. But, you know, there's just so much to talk about. Everybody's emailing in. Everyone's going crazy. So, you know, we'll all join him and we'll – keep this conversation going. We'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, a tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.